kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Do I have to stop eating my veggie straws?
I don't give a shit.
I'm sorry.
All right. Are you eating? Girl, I'm gonna be.
Are you fist fucking kidding me?
Are you fist fucking your mother?
No, I'm.
That's a song.
Adulting.
That's why that jumped into my mind.
Fist fucking adulting you. Come on, man. This is a family friendly show.
On that note, what's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
Yeah, I get to be the first one. Fuck everybody else who's here tonight.
I am
the best co-host.
Go on.
This got really interesting.
Fucking everybody's here tonight, by the way. Former co-host Chris, you're here. How are you doing?
I'm right on time. I'm so glad I'm right on time because I literally just walked into the door and I called everybody. I started it. So
you did. You started
me. This.
It is all your fault. George, you're here. How are you doing? Fantastic. Jacob Garner's here. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I totally forgot that today is Monday.
You're a moron.
Even though, like, earlier today, I'm pretty sure you actually asked me, hey, you still good for tonight? Which I really didn't think much more about because I still thought Monday is next week.
You are a moron.
I mean, there is a Monday next week.
All right, but all right, to be fair, the only reason why I'm even here is because Chris fucking called all of us.
Yeah.
I'm busy playing Injustice 2 still. And yeah, if I hadn't gotten Chris's fucking call, I wouldn't remember.
Well, I mean, thanks for answering.
Cave culture!
Speaking of, Purnell's here. Purnell, how are you doing?
I'm doing laundry.
Doing lunch.
See, when we were asking if everybody was ready, I told them to go check the dryer for you because you weren't here yet.
Oh, no, I'm still doing the wash. I haven't even got to the dry phase yet. So if I magically disappear, I'm going to the dryer. But let's be real here. There's so many people and so many voices on this bad boy. You won't even know I'm fucking gone. It's like, whoa.
No, we won't.
Tell us more about that thing with the water and the flower bit. Tell us more. Where'd he go? Oh, right. Laundry shit.
I was waiting for George to give crickets there. There we go. Tim Ekibis is here. Tim, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. I'm tired.
Tim's been so quiet, I forgot
he sounds
was
like
here.
I feel right now, actually.
Wait, weren't we talking about Ekibis right before the show started?
That was
that was Succubus. Never mind.
That was
Hello.
Super rare birds.
Chris Taylor, how are you doing?
Yo. I'm good.
That's all you got?
Yeah.
And then Dark Mika. Dark Mika's here as well. How are you doing?
Oh my gosh.
I am drinking so much already.
Fuck yeah.
Thank you, Phil.
I'm drinking too. I have a my very last Mountain Dew Baja Blast. I saved it for tonight.
Oh, damn.
I'm drinking a Mary Dew, so I'm content with that.
Mixing it I should have gotten a can of Sparks.
Wait,
for this.
Hold on. Why,
oh, God,
why is that
Sparks.
Special? Couldn't you just go to Taco Bell?
No, this is a can that expired in September.
Now. Wait, dude, why are you drinking expired soda?
Because
soda
it's still good.
Truly goes bad. That's a lie.
There's so many preservatives in that shit. Yeah, man, it's probably you could probably like put that in a bomb shelter and you'd be all right.
Pretty much, expired soda is a lie purported by the man.
You're actually
they just,
not
they just
wrong.
Want you to buy
well,
the
I mean, not
cans,
like in the whole
all.
Purported by the man thing, but like most expiration dates, their whole purpose is like just to move stock.
Yeah,
cycling in the grocery.
Yeah, it's not actually expiration.
Yeah, my father-in-law is a survivalist. I'm going to beg to differ on that one, Cole. Yeah, I don't want to tell you how many times I've gotten food poisoning just visiting for the weekend.
Speaking of something as painful as food poisoning, Darius the Snow just subbed to us, so thank you for that.
Thank you, person.
George, do you have anything to say to a sub?
Oh, fuck!
Okay. And that's what it sounds like when you get your...
Yeah, that's basically the sound effect of plays.
I seriously feel like he's in a studio right now with like 20 instruments
because he is.
He is. Yeah. He's in his garage with tons of instruments.
Your wet pancakes.
Is that a Jack in the Box?
A kalimba?
Oh, this thing?
He's playing a calypso. Oh, shit.
Fuck no, yeah. He's playing a Fisher Price toy. What are you talking about?
No, this thing's legit.
The calypso.
Well, yeah, I know Fisher Price is legit. It's a brand name.
That's the good shit. None of that. What is that? The fake Lego, like the big blocks, the smart block. What the fuck?
Hey, yo, don't go hate on Duplo. Oh, okay,
fucking Duplo.
Duplo is the shit.
Made by Lego. Ooh, yeah, I like that.
That's the bamboo one.
That's a good one.
Bamboo.
I like that.
Yeah, the SML one, and then I have the authentic podcast. Snoopy one.
Welcome to the SML. Name that instrument.
Oh, shit. We'll be here all night.
I can name that instrument in three notes.
In case you ever wondered if we'd ever run out of ideas. Yep.
We will never run out of ideas. Yes.
I feel nice and warm.
Though we have since run out of good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should have
clarified that part.
Yeah. We are long
gone. My plans for the 666 episode are going to be fire.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We're going to sacrifice somebody live on the show.
Yes, oh, this actually one's great.
I never even opened it, and it comes with a disclaimer that says choking hazard on it. It's like it knows my entire musical career.
Wait, get to the drum set. Give yourself a rim shot.
Oh, whoa. The sub knocked.
Only when you're married.
Sub Kitty knocked bits out.
Sub Kitty knocked bits out.
Yeah.
Jesus Ninja, thank you for the sub. You were awesome. Thank you very much.
Bits out.
Yes.
George is our musical man for the evening.
You have to fix the title because it says 8 and we got 2, so now we're at 10 out of 10. Do the math, Joe.
Play the jugs.
I can't update it during the show. I'm too lazy for that shit.
Play them jugs.
It's like right there on my dashboard.
Don't talk about my breasts like that.
Final update.
Play them. Play them tits.
Speaking of tits, I got my awesome Christmas sweater on. Check this shit out.
Stream delay. Christmas. I like it.
Oh, I have a Contra Christmas sweater as well. I'm not wearing it, though.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yes, I had to get in the Christmas spirit with a Contra sweater.
I would argue that number one Christmas sweater is better, though.
I just bought the new Contra today.
Which one, Red Core?
My condolences.
I'm so sorry.
Jesus Ninja said, where the hell did you get that shirt?
No, if you got it for like bone cheap, then it's. I guess I could see it being fun as like a fun little experiment. See just how bad they mucked it up.
You said bone.
Yeah, just said
all I can think about is the Contra. The Contra levels at Magfest for the challenge, where it's constantly switching between the three.
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
Wait, tell me more about this. What?
So like, there's these challenges at Magfest. So you scan your badge, and they're like. Versions of emulators that people have modified to make the games like harder just for like achievements basically. Mm-hmm. But one of them is that you have to finish the first level of all three Contras, like Contra 1, Contra 2, and Contra 3, while it switches between each save state like every 5 seconds.
Oh wow.
That sounds fun.
That would be fun to try.
It's crazy. Like there's some really cool stuff.
You were addicted to those MAGFest.
That's all I've been thinking about, going to MAGFest.
I dream about it.
I got to do the challenges. Games.
Like, dude, you have no idea. Like, I was obsessed, man. Like, I probably spent,
5 years.
At least, like, 16 hours of MAGFest at these.
Probably, at these
I'm going to look into it this year, because that sounds like something I should be trying to do.
Yeah. There's really crazy ones. Like, it's just like, I'm trying to remember, like, you had to control two different Mario Kart 6 or Super Mario Kart characters at the same time using one controller.
Wait, what?
Whoa.
I like it. Yeah.
How the fuck do you do that?
Two games, one controller.
Two games, one controller. Clearly. Yeah.
Tim, you didn't check those out last year?
And it was Rainbow Road. Man, I don't have fucking time at MAGFest. Shit.
Speaking of, what all are you doing there this year?
Well, I am running Name That Tune again, of course. This is its 15th year.
Jeez.
Bigger than ever. So I'm hosting that. X-Strike Studios will be showing off the first episode of our new Claymation show.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which should be wild. And some other stuff, too. I keep forgetting. There's stuff that I'm not working on that we're showing.
And then there's the rest.
And then there's the improv as well. So that's what I'm doing. Dave is hosting an acting panel, an nice acting workshop, which is cool.
Question.
What up?
What's the Claymation called?
It's called it's called The Crossing. It's based on Animal Crossing.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, there is a
And where can we find out more about it, Tim?
Well, I would look at the X-Strike Studios Facebook. I don't remember whether I put it on the YouTube. That's bad.
You probably
but
should.
Definitely on the Facebook. Sure.
That's good.
Yeah, I know it's on Facebook. So you should like and follow us on Facebook, X-Strike Studios.
Or the SML podcast, you know,
to see the
nobody wants.
Oh, no, we're not talking about this show here.
just X-Strike.
Just X-Strike, yeah, please.
Pretty
yeah
much.
So that's there's a little teaser up there right now, but the show looks a lot better because we turned the lights on. teaser is very dark.
Claymation so much. They should.
Oh man, it's so cool and it is so hard to do, but rewarding and fun to learn how to do it.
Also, it's very erect.
It can be.
It can be, yeah. Like, I have two tables down here in my basement that are just covered with little sets and models and props and stuff.
Nice.
How long have you been working on it for?
Okay, so Darren Darren wrote this before X-Strike died the first time. So, like, we're talking, like, 5 or 6 years ago. He wrote it. And he was jobless at the time, so he actually did make the end episode all by himself, which I don't think we ever posted anywhere, which is fine. But, yeah, as we got started back up, we were talking about stuff we could work on, and we actually, if you guys are familiar with Fizzman, who goes to MAGFest, the guy with the all the statues that he makes, if you've been to MAGFest, you had to have seen this dude's table.
I think so.
Yeah, he's been a MAGFest institution for years and years and years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're like, oh, you know what? Now we know a guy who can actually help us build models and stuff. So I talked to him, and he was very excited to come aboard. So he made the models, drove them up here in the summer. And, yeah, we started filming it in August. We've only got one episode done so far, but like I said, it's a lot of work and we're learning a lot along the way.
I'm guessing it's more time consuming than just standard acting.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you consider that we are shooting on average 12 frames per second. Yeah. And the first episode is like, I think 6 minutes long, but that's still thousands of frames of individual frames of trying to get,
forever.
Claymation puppets to behave themselves and not fucking fall over, and the sets to stay in place, and just to, you know, yeah, it's a learning process, but it's fun, and the more we do it, the better we get at it.
Gives you a whole new appreciation for the Neverhood, doesn't it?
I mean, I had a great appreciation for that to begin with. But yeah, it's like the first weekend that we were shooting, we got like two scenes done in two very long days. Now we can do that in about half the time because we just have a better idea of what we're doing with the camera and the models and everything. So it's coming along.
Top 10 favorite animated films are Claymation, The Nightmare Before Christmas, Kubo and the Two Strings. I love those movies. They're so great.
Use the same closer, Dark Mika, you're quiet.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
You have to swallow the mic.
Swallow the mic.
Swallow it.
Oh.
Swallow it.
Oh, Lord.
A little.
The microphone is so close.
Mine is not at swallow distance, but I have a pretty good.
That's not an instrument to be playing.
the fallopian
tuba.
You
play that mic hard.
What you got against the beef whistle, man?
You just got to blow it real hard.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Jesus. So anyway, what were you saying about the crossing?
I just love how there was like relative order for about a few minutes, and then just immediately the parade of bullshit came running back through.
Well, here's something we could discuss. Here's something we could discuss. What's everybody's game of the year?
Oh, wow.
Oh, fuck.
The chase.
Oh, God.
Fucking A.
I figure I'm not doing categories.
I actually have one now.
Well, tell it, Purnell.
Baba Is You is likely my game of the year. I love that game so much. It brought puzzle games back to the limelight in a fantastic way. And anybody who missed out on it only had themselves to feel they screwed out of it, because it's just that damn good. And I've played a lot of games this year. So for me to say that game is game of the year, that means a lot.
What was it?
Baba Is You.
For the Switch,
bless
right?
you.
Mm-hmm. I think it's on. It may be on PC too, I think, but it's definitely on Switch. It came out this year. It was like earlier in the year, though, like spring.
Okay, Hellblade.
This year's been a long one.
Are my game of the year. Both of them, I can't decide.
Again, you're so far away from the mic.
Wait, Hellblade was
try that again. What were your games?
Follow the mic.
Hellblade and J.J. Macfield.
There you go. Ooh. Stay there when you talk.
That's what I didn't know about. Hellblade was this year?
Hellblade was, I think it just came out on, it came out on some other platforms this year.
Yeah, it would have been Xbox, I think. I guess, I don't know.
Maybe.
I thought it came out on Xbox last year.
I have no idea.
I think it was last year.
The funny thing I like about, like, discussing game of the year with, like, folks who don't play games for a living is that everyone's game of the year is going to be fairly different. Primarily because not just their own personal taste, but also just what games they even had a chance to play.
Sure.
So there's a lot of games a chance to get some spotlight.
Whereas because I do review games, I get stuck on just a couple, and I'm like, I don't remember when any of this shit came out. So these ones that I really like, that's what I'm going to pick no matter what, just because it's like I like those and they're in my mind.
I mean, I think the thing about it is, like, for me, like, I do reviews, but it's not like, it's not like, say, a Kotaku staffer or something. Like, I haven't played Control, even though I've wanted to play Control, but I haven't had time to play Control, so I just haven't.
So what you're saying is you still have a soul.
Control's great, fuck you.
They were talking about that last night, and and Tim brought up that damn refrigerator. I was like, I'm in. I have to start this soon.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
That sounds amazing. Exactly. Son of a bitch, I'm in. It was such a fitting statement at that time. But
DDA in chat said Star Wars and Control for his two.
I loved Control. That was a damn good game. I haven't played the new Star Wars yet. I want to, though.
I've Chris started
Taylor,
it.
What about
it's
you?
Quite good. Yeah.
Eh?
I'm trying to get you involved, Chris.
I was hurriedly looking through my list of Switch games. Okay. I'm going to choose one that I reviewed. That'll be my official game of the year. And then one that I did not review will be my unofficial game of the year.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark. Was it Destiny Connect?
No, actually.
No! You were wrong that game, too.
That's soundtrack of the year. Definitely soundtrack of the year. My official game of the year is ReVenture. Because
that's a good pick for you. You loved it.
I love that game so much, and I went back to it. I still haven't gotten all the endings, but like just any friend that I've had come over and I've shown them the game, they've gone home and bought it. And I see them like on my Switch friends list, like it'll pop up and they're playing it, and I'm like, that game is, I reiterate, a must buy for the Switch. Okay, unofficially, the game ReVenture. It is
ReVenture.
Cheap.
Gotcha.
ReVenture, yeah, like adventure, but
not like the Revengers of Vengeance.
No, that game is great though. I can't believe I passed up a copy of
ReVenture's Adventure
in Illinois because the disc was scratched. That's the only one I've seen in the wild. But
I used to own it, sold it though.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb, but it's great.
Yes,
love the concept. I love that it has a rhinoceros knight.
The name is Revengers of Vengeance.
Yeah, that's the best part, I guess.
Oh my god.
It is also, obviously the best part.
But the contents of the game actually kind of live up to that. Yeah. Okay, unofficially, the game I had to buy with my own damn money that I'm going to call Game of the Year, because it's only on Switch, apart from, like, you know, Steam or whatever, is Dandy Dungeon, The Legend of Bravia Mata.
I was curious about that.
Yeah, it is Onion Games. You know, it's kind of it started as a mobile game, and it's just, it's pure absurdity, and it's so funny, and it's just like, and it really has this addictive, like, collection, like, aspect to it. And so I've been singing its praises ever since I, like, got it, but, you know, didn't get it for review. I've never actually reviewed an Onion game, so if they want a free good review, they're gonna have to send me something, because I bought all their games so far, and they're all amazing. The Onion games, by the way, they were the developer of Tulip back in the day.
Was
that the postal worker game with the smooching?
Yes, same developer. And they're bringing, I think it's called Moon or something like that, like a really bizarre PS1 RPG that I'm really looking forward to. I think it's called Moon, or like Moon something.
No, it's definitely Moon, because I heard about it, and, like, I was really shocked, because I asked a friend who knows RPGs, and he was like, oh yeah, Moon. I'm like, well, shit, I guess now I gotta look into this.
Yeah, so they're bringing that over, and yeah, Onion Games, they're doing great. Blackbird's another one to look at, but it's a little more of an art piece, but it's still great. But yeah, no, Dandy Dungeon is, like, next time, I think it's on sale right now, actually, but I do recommend everybody check it out. It's a hilarious game, and it's very much in that, like, absurd sense of humor that you only ever see come out of Japan. But yeah, it's about a 36-year-old guy who just wants to develop games at his home computer. And you get to help him, quote unquote, play test the games. And then the whole thing just gets, like, crazy from there. And so that is my unofficial Game of the Year.
Nice. Chris Huber, what about you?
I keep playing the same shit, man. Like,
Skate 3?
Like Chrono Trigger.
I mean, like,
Chrono Trigger?
Joe, you could probably rattle off the games that I've been playing this year.
Skate 3, Diablo 3, and Rocket League, and Overwatch.
Less Overwatch, more Path of Exile instead of Diablo for this year.
Nah.
I'm literally in Path of Exile right now.
multitasking.
Yeah, exactly. I'm working on my hideout. Yeah, and I played the new Call of Duty, I thought it was trash.
Cole, you liked that one, didn't you?
I did. I'm kind of surprised. Yeah.
I'm not surprised,
but I am surprised at the same time, because it was so much better than the other ones.
It's so terribly unbalanced. At least, like, the progression system, like, you have to trudge through, like, using, like, the worst weapons to try and get to the ones that you'll actually do well with.
I don't know that that's true, but then I'm an assault rifle runner, and I run with ARs, and I started off with the Kilo, and it's the first gun, the first assault rifle you get, I got like 3,000 kills just with the Kilo.
The way that I've always played those types of games in the past were very, like, fast paced, like, submachine gun, close quarters kind of shooting. Because anything that was more methodical, I would want to do something like Counter-Strike or, like, something along the lines of that style of game, right? So I hopped into this thinking, like, okay, it's a remake of Modern Warfare. I played Modern Warfare. That was, like, that style of gameplay was the stuff that I liked the most about it. But then they started, like, adding in, like, the verticality of the newer levels and stuff, which I like because it gives variety, but at the same time, it just takes away from, like, what made those games so interesting in the first place is that they were so streamlined that it was only the stuff that was necessary. And now there's just, like, so much extra shit that doesn't need to be there that I think takes away some of the focus of what made the game good in the first place. That's the only reason why I haven't really enjoyed it.
They took that away in Modern Warfare, though. You don't have the vertical movement anymore.
Well, I mean, you have to look up more, because you could be people are.
That's more of a callback to Modern Warfare 1 and 2 and 3, because that was very standard issue in those.
Well, I think more so in the like hiding, like everybody's holding corners, like everybody's like, it's not like a very aggressive, like fast paced.
Nah, that's only if you don't play it that way.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, run that shit.
I'm like,
here's 30 kills, move out of my way.
I've hopped in, and at least, like, the one of the newer maps that they added was the shoot house or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of helped a little bit more because it brought it back to, like, those styles of maps. And I do like the opposite of it where it got to be, like, almost more like Battlefield with the ground war stuff. But it's really, like, a lot, the stuff in between feels like it's, It doesn't feel as authentic as I thought it was going to be for me.
One of these days, I'll actually play a Modern Warfare game or any Call of Duty game. One day.
Honestly, I reinstalled Black Ops 4. Like,
oh no, Black Ops 4 was garbage.
and the only reason why I did is because at least they started the new engine on that one, and the zombies is fun.
Carnage just dropped 5 biddies and said we need a fucking live dropping bits from George.
Oh, fuck! Dropping fucking bits!
Beautiful. Yeah, baby, you know exactly what it's at.
Love it.
Good God.
No, I think there's a lot of other games that are potentially like out there. Like I'm glad that this year I finally took the time to learn Path of Exile and recognize like how much better of a game it is than Diablo.
So what's your game of the year?
How about Path of Exile? Fuck it.
There you go. Jacob, what about you?
You know, I actually have been thinking about this for a while, and the unfortunate thing is that I get to play games so rarely that most of what I enjoy is shit that came out like 2-3 years ago, because having kids will do that to you.
Yeah.
Okay, game of the decade, then. Fuck it.
Raising children. The game.
No, that's
too
miserable.
Real, man. Too real.
The game that comes with no restarts and no save states.
Well, I mean, you can restart. I'm just saying.
No, I brought you into this one. I'll take you right out of it. Make another one look just like you.
but the other thing is, I've got two games that like just came out that I haven't had a chance to play yet, because I haven't played the new Star Wars game yet, which Joe gave me for Christmas, and then also Untitled Goose Game. I haven't had a chance to check that out either.
Honestly, I want to try that too, because I feel like I might.
It's on Game Pass.
Yeah. It's on Game Pass.
Yeah.
I'm installing it right now.
We said Game Pass.
It's very good.
It took us a record time. Yeah, 38 minutes for us to say Game Pass.
Possibly a record.
Merry Christmas, motherfucker.
Yeah, wait, pretty much.
Can I install it on my PC? Oh, wait, Joe, you know what I was actually playing in Game Pass for the PC thing? Descenders.
That's a good one.
Oh, that's
it was fun.
I don't think Goose Game is on PC Game Pass, though. It's on Xbox.
Okay, I'll have to boot that up and turn it on.
Shit.
Let me see what's... Tabs was added?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Dude, Game Pass is this shit, man. You got to keep up to date with what's on Game Pass.
Oh, no, I have it now. I did it when it was like $1.
I'm just saying you got to keep up to date with what's on it, because there's so much shit that they add to it.
Yeah, I see that now. Holy shit. What is this? Pillars of Eternity? Isn't that a board game?
No, that's an Obsidian RPG.
It's kind of Diablo-like, so you might really enjoy that one.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I'm working
on it too,
so, and it sucks.
Recently added. Oh, they put Sans Tickets Thesis to Ride
says
in there.
It's Epic exclusive on PC at the moment.
Oh. Epic exclusive, okay.
Fucking hate Epic.
The words you wanted to hear.
Yes.
So anyway.
Well, that just means I'm literally going to turn my Xbox on for the first time since I started playing Skate 3 again.
Oh, jeez. So, Jacob, what were you saying?
All right, so the thing is, like, I actually have 4 games that I've played this year that I really enjoyed out of everything. Only one of them was actually made this year.
Oh,
all right, you know what? Shut up. Anyways, first off, Shape of the World, which came out last year. It's just this exploration game, and pretty much all you have to do is just get to the top of the mountain. You can't die. I don't know. I just love the ever-living shit out of it. It's a fantastic indie game. Injustice 2, I started playing this year. That thing's amazing. So I'm really looking forward to Mortal Kombat 11 when I finally get around to it.
Dude, it's good. It's honestly, it's really good. I didn't have the heart to say that that was my like game of the year because I didn't stay with it. But like, dude, I was jamming that for like, probably like 3 months, 3-4 months straight. That's all I was playing once it came out.
Yeah, like the I think it was like a couple weeks before Mortal Kombat 11 came out. They did like a huge price drop on Injustice 2, and I'm like, fuck it. Well, I'm not gonna get it Mortal Kombat 11 for like 2 years from now until it's like $10. So I'll just get Injustice 2 and just play the fuck out of it. I've been playing the fuck out of it since I got it. Like it is an amazing game. There's an old Neo Geo game that I really got into called Mutation Nation.
All right.
Hell yeah.
It's a bizarre beat 'em up that, like, it really feels like somebody just smoked a shitload of weed and was like, hey, you know that Final Fight game? We should make that, except just, I don't know, they battle a cake and on horseback or something.
You're saying the people that designed all the stuff for that were the same people that designed McDonald's Treasure Land Adventure for the Jetsons?
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. I would not be surprised. it is just this bizarre, like, what the fuck ever kind of game. And I wish more people discovered it. I ended up gifting it to as many people as I could while it was still on sale.
Nice.
And so, which brings me to the only 2019 game that I have played and put on my Game of the Year thing so far. And that's One Night Stand, which Cole reviewed like a couple months ago, weeks ago, something. And it's pretty much just like, I wouldn't call it like a visual novel, but like you pretty much like wake up the night after and you have to figure out like why you're in this girl's room. Like what actually is her name? Like, you know, is she plotting against you? Are you safe? Is she the love of your life? All this other kind of stuff.
I ask myself that every day.
Hashtag not a porn game.
I mean,
my left hand plotting against me.
Your right hand, however. Oh, baby.
The love of my life.
George, what about you?
Oh, that's a tough one. I haven't played a lot of the more popular games from this year. Like, I haven't played Control. I haven't played a lot of them. Any gaming I did was mostly relegated to Switch and a little bit of PC. So my two favorite this year, actually, the first and not obvious one is probably No Man's Sky because of the major update that came out. I played it when it first came out, like nonstop for 2 months, and I loved it. And I was the only person I knew who loved it. And then I kind of dropped it because life happened and blah, blah, blah. And then the big update came out this year and I picked it up again and played it again for like another 2 months straight. It was just fantastic. The other one is probably a tie for two, and only because I haven't gotten very far in it, but I'm loving it, which is Dragon Quest XI. Which I'm loving so far, even though I'm not very far in it because I keep getting distracted by other things. And then the other one that I just played the ever-loving shit out of was Dragon Quest Builders 2.
Ooh.
Mm. I'm still waiting for them to get a good sale. I came so close to getting it for 50% off. Good. Where Best is Buy. It, digital or physical?
Physical. Best Buy.
Oh, shit.
Hit it matter.
If I were on this recording right now, I'd be in the car to pick it up.
Well, it's after 9, so I don't think they're open.
They close at midnight.
You have a holiday hours.
Really?
I was going to say, get after that. Get on wireless on your phone and drive there talking to us.
I'm pretty sure that would be bad for sound quality, more so than my usual bad for
that
sound
matter.
Quality.
We can.
Okay, who gives a motherfuck?
Yeah, Dragon Quest Builders 2 PS4, $24.99,
you said.
PS4 version, not Switch. I mean, PS4 version.
That's the one I'd want because I heard the Switch version had to take some shortcuts here, and I'm like, oh, as well. Let me look it up.
Cut the frame rate a little bit for Switch because you expect that, but it didn't change how fun the game was. Like, I've seen YouTube videos of the PS4 version, and it's like, oh, everything looks a lot smoother and cleaner and crisper, but who gives a fuck? It It's a great game, regardless. I know. Eat my shorts.
No thanks, Bart.
Tim, no, what about you?
Has anyone... Oh, wow. Okay. Hey!
Someone in chat mentioned a game that I really, really love. A Plague Tale Innocence. I think I'm going to add that to my, my game of the year as well.
There you go.
I love that game.
As you cut off Tim as he was ready to talk again.
No, it's all good. No, I was like waiting for like the chorus to come back through, and then it didn't. No, okay, so... Yeah. Okay. Second best game I reviewed that I just want to say out loud is Anodyne 2.
Nice.
Which is... Yeah, that game was so cool, and it's just like it's a for those that don't know, which a lot of people didn't play this game apparently. Not a lot of people picked it up. It's one might say it's my most overlooked game of the year, but yeah, it's like a throwback 3D platformer, like PlayStation 1 era, with some like Game Boy Advance style overhead dungeons thrown into it. And it's just like a really cool, like easygoing, super charming game that was a delight to review. But the best game I reviewed was Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice, because I am a hooker for From Software's brand of
and a masochist. RPG.
No, I am not. No,
we prefer the term prostitute.
Man of the night.
Put that out there.
Yeah, I love that game. It's really hard. It might be the most demanding From Software game because you cannot really. There's nothing you can't
cheese
like,
it. You can't.
You can't like upgrade your gear. You can't grind experience to just overlevel your character at all. You just have to get good.
Scrub.
Yeah.
Get good scrub.
Yeah. You have to.
GG no re.
My favorite game that SML reviewed that I didn't review personally was Control, which I had the delight of playing on an Xbox One X, so I didn't have the technical issues that Cole did while reviewing it.
Those have been fixed, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's good, because but still, playing that game on an X, like that game is phenomenal. From a visual perspective, just like the effects it's doing and the way that the building transforms and shapes, and the ashtray maze is incredible. And this the ashtray maze is so awesome, but I loved Alan Wake and have been lusting for some kind of follow up to that game for years and years, obviously. And while it's not a direct sequel, it is pretty heavily playing off, and
they are in universe.
Yeah, it recontextualizes what happened in Alan Wake and builds upon it from there. My favorite game that I didn't review was Sayonara Wild Hearts, which I got to play for free on the Apple Arcade, so I didn't pay money for it initially anyways, but then I went and bought it on the Switch, so I would just have it on a system that I'm actually going to play video games on and be able to use buttons with.
Nice.
And yeah, there's just not enough games out there that are like Rez, where you have these rhythmic action adventure things where everything you're doing ties into the music and the music ties into everything you're doing. And you know, it's only an hour long game to play through it, but I've played through it a bunch of times and it's awesome. I love it.
Nice.
Yeah.
On the rhythm game, I gotta give some more love to Rock Band 4. I still play it pretty much every week.
I don't think that came out this year, Joe.
No, but
did that even come out this decade?
Yeah. Of course it came out this decade.
3 years ago? 4 years ago?
I think four or five.
I don't wanna be in your rock. And I just want to get on your cock.
Band.
Oh my!
That's
well. There you
put some
go,
real work
Joe,
and thought to that song,
now.
Didn't you?
Some people in chat are saying Citus Alpha, the new Avicii game, which we covered.
Citus
that was
Alpha. Citus. Yeah.
Citus Alpha is great, 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 great.
There was also Code Vein. I fucking loved that game. It got me into those fucking stupid hard games. I love that thing.
That should be the name of the genre, by the way. Stupid hards.
Yeah.
It should be.
I thought the stupid hard game you covered was Nympho Monster Domination.
Oh my god.
That was the name of it?
It was. Yes. Yeah, that was the name of it.
Nympho Monster Domination.
One more time?
Nympho Monster Domination.
Nympho Monster.
Stupid.
And it is on Steam. Make sure that you have your adult filter off.
Fuck off.
So I am getting in the car. So here we go.
All right. All right.
I love
Pernell,
it.
Now, you making
hit
the trip?
Hit her, powder. Let's get at her.
We're doing this shit live.
Roll them bones again.
Live trip to Best Buy on show.
We've done much dumber stuff.
We did a fucking episode.
Dumber right now, really, having a dozen people on show.
When you were in the hospital, that was by far the best.
Yeah, the hospital cast.
Wait. You had an episode while you were in the hospital?
Yes.
I brought my computer to the hospital, and we did an episode in there.
Yeah, now, I was in there for back surgery, and I didn't want to skip doing the show. And because it was E3 week.
Yeah.
Joe's stupid is what he's saying.
I'm very stupid. I think that's been apparent that I've been doing the show for almost 7 years.
That too.
But yeah, I didn't want to miss an E3 week show. So Chris came down and holy shit, No Time for Games just cheered 1,150 biddies. Holy shit.
Wow.
Biddies.
It's for the dedication to your craft.
Oh, Pernell is on phone.
That's so bad.
I love it. It
Open
sounds amazing.
Your fucking mouth. You got a cavity, and we're gonna fill it with draw fucking load.
Is that more cave culture?
Holy shit! Oh, that was good.
Cave culture.
All right, I'm clicking on a video for Nympho Monster Domination. Jesus Christ.
Don't be shocked by what you watch. Just letting you know. Don't be shocked.
Wait, hold on. Somebody link it.
God, no.
Not in chat. I don't want our show banned.
Oh, wait.
Oh, that's not an interesting clip. And you know what I mean by interesting.
Interesting.
Well,
you're on the wrong. You're probably doing the search on the wrong.
I'm just poking around.
Because it is Jeff Bezos. Just throwing that out there.
Woof.
There is one that does go woof. So yes.
Oh no.
Pernell, I love that you're actually going to Best Buy right now.
This is
I am
best
going to Best
thing
Buy.
Ever.
I think it's hilarious. I was like, yeah, man, well, shit, they closed at 11. See if they got it. They got three copies left. I want to get one. Shit.
Did you check the in-store tracker to see if they have it?
Yeah, it said they had three copies left.
Well, there you go. Right. You're set.
So by the time you get there, they're going to be gone.
Yeah. Because I'm already on my way as well.
Then you'll get the next segment where Pernell's on his way to jail live on the show. Beat the shit out of somebody for buying out three goddamn copies of one game.
Why didn't you just order it online and pick it, then go in and pick it up real quick?
It's the thrill of the
hunt. Because that's not as thrilling. You got to go in there and beat people for it.
You know what? I respect it. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you for being
a better adventure when it's happening mid-podcast if there's risk.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the twist when he shows up and they go... Oh, I don't know. It says that we have three, but I don't see them out. Maybe let's check the warehouse. Oh, the suspense is killing me.
Just it says we have three in stock, but we can't find any. You motherfuckers!
The sad reality is I'm so, like, freaking, like, laid back and, like, I don't get angry about it because I'm like, okay, I totally understand. I appreciate that you took the time to look. Happy holidays, and I wasted gas.
My entire ass.
It's a big ass, too. There's a lot of smooch in there. I got a round derriere.
So who didn't talk Game of the Year? Did anyone not mention their Game of the Year?
I feel like you only asked
Cole. Cole. I saw you muted for a bit, so I didn't know if you were still here or not.
Yeah, number one was Coffin, so I told her to come get her a cough drop. Yeah.
So what was your game of the year, Cole? Oh, before that, I did want to give a quick shout out to the game Super Epic. Chris, I know you played this one.
Yes.
I fucking loved Super Epic. It is a Metroidvania style game where you are a raccoon riding an alpaca.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That sounds great.
It is. And you're fighting pigs who are taking over the world via free-to-play video games. Yeah.
Wait, what?
You actually get to play through QR codes in the game.
It is such a cool twist. You actually pull out your phone, scan in codes, and you could get bonuses that way, or you could unlock chests that way. You can earn money in the game that way. So it's confused. Really cool.
That it's called
Super
crazy.
Epic. Look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really good. I also wanted to shout out one that I did in January, so I actually forgot that it was this year, but Fairy Fencer F Advent Dark Force.
Mm.
That actually became...
Fucking games and their fucking names.
Well, it's... yeah. Yeah, that one came out, like, a long time ago, but this is the remake that they made for the Switch and PS4, and I really like that one. And technically speaking, because I ran my Switch numbers, like they do that Spotify thing where it tells you how many, you know, what your most played games were of the year.
Yeah.
Since I've been playing Skyrim on a different profile, that is technically my number one game because I put 92 hours into it.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that you mentioned that. My number one played game this year happened to be that one visual novel game I reviewed back in the summer called Our World Is Ending.
Oh,
I was
very
shocked by that. Very shocked.
I've been considering checking that one out.
It was actually fun.
That Code for Agalos just came out. That was another great game that I reviewed this year on Switch.
Yeah, that was a really cool game.
Really enjoyed that one.
Cole, what was yours?
So, I couldn't decide on one game overall, like everybody else.
Shocking.
The Division 2.
The Division 2 came out, so that is a given. That was like
That's a shocker. I can't believe you'd say that.
Nobody
even get to try it yet, and I love the first one.
The Division 2 definitely takes my top AAA, but I was kind of torn as far as indie goes. Then fucking Aki had to go and mention a Plague Tale, and that's definitely up there as well. I think I was very heavily stuck that Slay the Spire was going to be my favorite indie for the year. And nobody's surprised by that one either.
Nope.
Except then Cardpocalypse came out.
No.
And I love Cardpocalypse so fucking much that it is right there. And I think it's because that they're very similar gameplay style that I can't choose between them. Like, they have their basics, which are nearly identical, but then there's so much built around them that separates them from each other that I can't just pick one to love over the other. Slay the Spire is a roguelite, and it's incredibly difficult, and you're not ever going to fucking beat it. Nobody will ever. I mean, I beat it with all three characters, and I still haven't beat it. Whereas Cardpocalypse, same concept, same gameplay mechanics, very similar, and yet it's a lot more casual and laid back, and I beat it very quickly. In fact, I'm on fourth or fifth playthrough of it.
Is that the one about the little girl in the wheelchair?
And that is another selling point for me, is the main character is a little girl and B in a wheelchair. Oh, and that's just not shit you see.
No, that's rare. I really like when games do stuff like that. It's cool. And I really liked how you mentioned how it, like, you had to figure out how to get around and shit in the game, because not everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, because not everywhere is even wheelchair accessible. So they didn't flat out design the game knowing that the main character was going to be disabled. And they still put in elements, like there's one fight that's down a flight of stairs and you can't go. You just have to tell a friend to go for you because you can't go down the stairs. They're not accessible. Whereas there's another area on the playground where it's split into two levels and there are stairs all the way across the main level, but there's a ramp on the right side. So if you want to go up to the second, you have to go around and go up the ramp. You can't just drive her over the stairs. When you go into the classroom,
ramp off them.
Yeah. Hey, what?
I'm going to launch over this thing.
there's legitimate debris around in the classrooms. And so it may be something as simple as a backpack. It may be a chair that's knocked over. Maybe that the tables are just too close together, but you just can't go. You have to find another way. I mean, they very easily could have made everything nice and neat and organized and pushed away so that you could go wherever you wanted. And they didn't. They made it realistic and without being something that was a negative effect on the gameplay at the same time.
Yeah, that's what really interested me about that game when you were talking about it, was that specifically. That sounds cool.
Yeah, what about biggest disappointment of the year?
Mech Warrior 5.
Ooh.
Call of Duty.
Is that not good?
Oh, sorry. Did you want me to think about that for a minute?
Did Star Wars Battlefront 2 come out this year?
No.
Like 4 years ago. Get with it, Aki.
Yeah. I had a hard time with that, actually. But I think I ended up settling on Kingdom Hearts 3.
Wow. That's your biggest disappointment?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's been a surprisingly okay year for games with me, but when it comes to just hard cooked straight up games, I think that may be the one. I mean, if I want to get into like game politics, I have a bunch of different things, but just games themselves, playing Kingdom Hearts 3, it was nice to finally get the game, but after having played Birth by Sleep and being drunk on Kingdom Hearts 2 prior to that, and being in this game where every damn sequence is interrupted by a context sensitive attack, teacups and roller coasters and throwing Goofy like a goddamn rocket, you got tired of it. And yet at the same time, people say, well, just don't use them. But you have these giant prompts in the corner. You can't not do them. They're in your face. It constantly felt like it was taking me out of the gameplay experience. I didn't want to keep doing these. I just want to whack dudes with keys. So I want to do. And they said, no, you can't do that. We gotta talk about Disney amusement parks or something. I don't know. It was a really weird thought to get with it.
You know what? I haven't played that game, and I'm going to go with that being my game anyways, because the story is too fucking convoluted. Jesus Christ.
Oh, I got to tell you, you'll love this. So on the other show I do, we had a guest who came on, and he was like a big Kingdom Hearts fan. So the idea was like, okay, come on the show. We'll talk about Kingdom Hearts music and all that shit. And one was like, yo, give me a rundown on the plot, because you're so into it. Surely you know what the fuck's going on. And I kid you not, it was like 20 minutes, but we cut it very short. Trying to run through it. You got Heartless, and you got Nobody, you got Draws, you got Zipper Pants, you got Who's the Fuck Team, you got guys with shorts. There's just so much nonsense there. I almost feel like they just got lost in the sauce writing the plot, but they had to keep going.
Yeah, I played some of the very first one, and even by the time I got near the end of that, I was like, I don't know half of what the fuck this stupid game is about, and I never played another one.
Doc Havoc says, I had to watch two different videos on YouTube. One, explain the order of the games, and two, what the fuck the plot is about.
Yeah,
both videos were roughly 40 minutes long.
On the very first game, at the sequence where Sora decides to stab himself with a goddamn key and unlock himself, I was like, well, this is getting janky. I like hanging out with Aladdin and, I don't know, Peter Pan. Oh, what this fucking shit is. But, they went down a horrible, horrible rabbit hole with that game in a way that I don't understand. They screwed the poop.
It's like MGS levels of just what the fuckness, and it makes even less fucking sense, and nothing should make less sense than Metal Gear Solid. Fuck that. Nothing should make less sense than that. Kingdom Hearts fucking manages it. Fuck that.
Oh, hey, Joe. Was this your Bard's Tale 4, or was that last year?
Oh, God, I don't remember. Well, it came out on console this year.
Oh, yeah, what was your game of the year, Joe?
Oh, yeah, you didn't tell us.
This is Rock Band 4.
The host didn't speak up. What's that
about? It doesn't count.
Well,
no, it doesn't count.
I don't really know, because you guys talk about how many games you cover. Don't forget that I basically cover all of them with you, because I have to keep up to date on everything that comes in. Cole, what's my favorite?
Riverbond.
Riverbond was a really good one.
Mm-hmm. As your game of the year, though?
I don't know about game.
Maybe Super Epic.
I don't even know what that was.
Super Epic is up there. Riverbond is up there.
Riverbond was the first game to make you want to complete it again.
True.
And then you went back and got the DLC achievements.
Yeah, I got the update where, Chris, you mentioned in your review that there was a ninth chapter, and they didn't have that originally on the Xbox release. So I went back and I played the ninth stage, and I got my achievements, and I recompleted the game. So, yeah, Riverbond's got to be up there. Need for Speed Heat is up there. That one was really good. It surprised me. The beginning when I started playing it was really rough, but it turns around, and I really enjoyed Need for Speed Heat. Controls up there. What, Purnell?
I thought you were about to say there was a game called The Beginning. Like, wait, whoa, what?
No.
How did I miss that one?
The Beginning.
By the way, where are you now?
In the beginning.
I'm at the store trying to see if they have this game on the shelf somewhere.
All right, because I'm guessing you're connected to their Wi-Fi. Because your quality's fantastic again.
You got way better all of a sudden.
No, I got a feeling their signal just sucks in here.
Yeah, I mean, you should just stay there for the rest of the podcast.
This is the SML can't.
Awesome Prime bringing up Wreckfest. That was a really good one. Destruction Derby mode in there is awesome.
Oh, that finally came out?
Yeah.
They released Conception on the PS4. That's something I didn't know.
Did they?
Yeah, it's on the shelf here. I'm looking right at it. It was originally on the 3DS.
And the Vita.
Yeah.
The baby boom is back as this Starfield RPG is reborn.
Huh. Okay, boomer.
Now with more procreation than ever before.
There's fucking...
That darn game was so bizarre, but I liked it. It was my kind of jam.
I'm going to be playing the Bridewell Conspiracy soon. It's on sale right now on Xbox. I'm going to be buying that.
Group Here's My Jam mentioned River City Girls. Tim, any input on that one?
Yeah, it's great. It's one of my favorite soundtracks of the year.
Dale North!
If that was an anime, I would have watched it.
No, Dale North's contribution to that game is like legitimately a really cool piece of sound design because they made like a little arcade, and that's where his music is. And it's actually a really cool effect that they have in there just by having like he has like four or five different little
mini jingles.
Yeah, mini jingles, and they fade in and cross over as you're...
You know what?
Everything Dale touches turns to gold.
True Sparklight is his. That was a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was Wizard a great of Legend.
He is absolutely crushing it right now.
He
Legend was Dale North?
Yeah.
Dragon Fantasy, those were his, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, Dragon Fantasy 2 was his.
Oh, Dragon Fantasy 2, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and what was the roguelike the
Are you Wizard thinking of Wizard of Legend?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Great soundtrack.
That has an update coming up soon too.
Does
really?
It?
Yep. What are they gonna add to it?
Another biome, I believe. Like the Thunder Keep.
That shit was hard.
Yeah, the boss battles in that game were spectacular.
Yes, they were.
Very frenetic. I never pay attention to soundtracks.
Oh, my.
Oh, you need to remedy that ASAP.
Yeah.
We play music crowd. On every fucking episode.
I'll be blunt. I've actually put down games because they either had no music or their music sucked.
Dragon Quest 11 on the PS4.
It made me wait a year to play Dragon Quest 11, legitimately.
Yeah. Oh, the music in Dragon Quest 11 is so good.
Yeah,
on the Switch version, it is so good.
I couldn't deal with it.
PS4.
I need to hear the Switch version's music to get that comparison, because while I'll admit I wasn't like really like hating the OST, I also didn't feel it was very good. It was just kind of there, you know?
Yeah, I like
the Switch does pop a lot more.
See, video game soundtracks to me are just background noise. I don't pay any.
you are pissing off everybody in here.
Yes, no. What are you saying? these insinuations, man.
A witch!
Blasphemy.
I've only paid attention to one single song in one single game. In my entire gaming life.
If it wasn't Zelda, I'll be very shocked.
I've never played Zelda. No, it was from a fucking JRPG that like next to no one's ever played. The Legend of Dragoon. It was its theme song.
Yeah.
And it's probably because it had lyrics, and I sang it every time it came on. I still know most of the lyrics even.
What was that song again?
Thank you.
What, the one from The Legend of Dragoon?
Oh, okay. I'm just juggling two things. Like, I'm on a podcast record and buying the game.
Did you find the game?
I found the game in a Nintendo $20 code.
Nice.
Because why not?
Fuck it, why not?
Yourself.
You owe me a Coke.
Tim, since we're talking biggest disappointments, is Stay Cool Kobayashi. Oh, he's checking out.
I doubt I have any points on there, but if I do,
yes, right. Yes.
Okie dokie.
I love it. Oh, I fucking love it.
God, I didn't even write that one down.
Oh, no bag. I'm okay.
Hey, you know what? Good on you, Rex, for not
save the planet.
Thank you.
Save the planet.
Hell yes.
Do you have digital receipts as well?
He's such a good boy. Oh my goodness.
So, Tim, biggest disappointment is Stay Cool Kobayashi-san on your list?
I mean, it wasn't something I was necessarily looking forward to, but it was probably the worst thing that I played. Oh, that game was not. I did
what
not.
What game?
It's called Stay Cool Kobayashi-san. It was a River City side story. Oh,
it good or bad?
Oh, it's real bad.
Oh no.
I was unapologetic, dude.
I was not expecting that.
Oh, it's really, really bad. And that came out like the month after River City Girls. Like, it is so underbaked and uninteresting and half-assed, and it is like
who
like,
developed it though? Was it like
did
Arxis develop that internally?
I doubt it. They even if they said it was, I'm sure it was like outsourced to some degree. It's just like some thing they cranked out and threw out there, and it's
like it's got the word "stay cool" in it. People will eat it up.
Well, it says River City in there, so it's like, oh man, another cheap River City game, which is something that they keep doing. They keep throwing out like these kind of cheap River City games, and usually they're just like reusing sprites.
I'm gonna be honest. I got this odd feeling that's how it was always like over there, at least when they were big, and then when it died and came better, just retreating it or redoing it.
Yeah,
we didn't get a lot of them back then, so we didn't realize it.
I guess it's just a thing like with I mean, again, it came like a month after River City Girls, which was great, but it's like when Arxis bought the license, I was like, oh man, Arxis is gonna make some really good looking high definition River City games, and it hasn't really come to pass yet that they have actually followed through on what I wanted them to do, which is the most important thing.
Steam says it was developed by Arxis. So
okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, it's bafflingly bad and underbaked and repetitive and just not good.
But you do get a UFO from a screenshot I saw, right?
He's jabbing again.
What happened about javelins?
Yes, you do get a UFO in that game. You can ride in a UFO because there's some kind of alien storyline going on. Yeah.
It's always aliens.
Yeah. Always. Like, there's like a time-traveling alien invasion. It's meant to be kind of like a roguelike deal where you, well, I guess not really, but you're meant to replay the game over and over again to get different endings, and there's only like one enemy type, just different colored, and the whole idea is you just have to beat 20 of each guy to make the bosses come out.
It's not good, fam.
It's
Darius, not like it's very cool at all.
It is not.
Darius the Snow is saying Locke's Quest on Xbox is pretty bad. It's half-ass game, broken achievements, some of the towers start to slide, the story's boring.
Wait. Really?
Isn't that a DS game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was confused, because on the DS it got a ton of praise.
I guess the port to Xbox or to console just wasn't that good.
Fell on DS 10 years ago.
Yeah. Rose-tinted glasses, maybe.
Or maybe it's better on the DS.
Those issues that they were there probably didn't stand out so much. Chris, did you play it back then, or are you just familiar with it like me? Because I hadn't played it back then.
I know the title. I have not played the game.
I have a copy on my shelf.
Reaper on Xbox One is broke too, and that's sad.
What game?
Felix the Reaper has a broken achievement or two as well. That's just sad, because that game was good, and that's holding it back from greatness as far as I'm concerned.
Broken achievements are annoying.
Yes, they are.
I'm trying to remember what game. I think that's what game was. The only time I ever experienced that in the way that it pissed me off was years ago. I played that Xbox 360 game Alone in the Dark, and that game had a lot of jank going on, but I was still trying to get a perfect score on it, which for me was a very rare thing to shoot for. And one achievement straight up broke. And did it piss me off. I'm sitting there with like a freaking 970.
No, that sucks.
I'm like, how do you do this to me? I put up with so much bullshit for this game.
Look, I am still waiting for Where the Water Tastes Like Wine to be fixed so that I can be the first person to complete it.
Is anyone else close?
Yeah, now that it's been out a while, there are a lot of other people close.
Damn. I'm still waiting for Shiny to get fixed.
And oh, that will never get fixed.
Yeah, it's been 3 or 4 fucking years.
That's like waiting for Frizzy to get fixed.
Yeah, Frizzy ain't never getting fixed either.
Makes me so mad because I talked with the devs time and time again, working so hard to try and get that thing fucking fixed, and they still haven't fixed it. I'm like, you fuckers.
Firefly's going to get a second season before they fix that.
I will blow every male member necessary to get fucking Firefly season 2. I fucking love that.
Jacob, do you have a disappointment?
The show because of what happened with it.
Yeah, I got a couple. All right, first off, RBI Baseball 19, because I reviewed this year's and last year's, and you'd think with like 1 year, like especially with like how much improved with like that opening day baseball patch last year.
Yeah,
like we gave it the same exact, you know, we were like, all right, we'll wait till opening day, they'll fix it, okay. And somehow it was like, it was just crap. It was still crap, like, and it's just, guys, either make a competent baseball game or just fucking give up already. Like, I get that Major League Baseball employs people to try to expand their shit.
I feel like with a lot of like sports games like that, I mean, you get some folks who are like into the craft and want to make a quality game, but in other cases, they know they can just kind of phone them in because the fan base is just like, I want the new sport. I want the new sports game. And until someone steps up and says, look, fuck their game, this is the only one you really need, they'll just keep doing it because they can't.
Well, and that's what I'm actually kind of curious about, because MLB The Show is going to be multi-platform.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, and lots of people were shitting all over Sony for that.
No, I give Sony all the props in the world for that.
No, although that's awesome, I still the show think is great.
MLB forced their hand, but I'll still give props to Sony for going multi-platform with The Show. That's a really cool thing.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I'm wondering if they're just like, yeah, our
RBI sucks. We're just going to make you guys do it from now on.
Right. So, I mean, there was that. Crackdown 3.
Ew. Like, God, that was bad.
I enjoyed it. Like, I had a ton of fun with it for a week.
Yeah.
And that's that right there is the problem. Like, you had Game Pass for a week. Cool, then that's all you needed.
Game Pass.
Game Pass.
Saving like, people money.
I love the first Crackdown. I even liked Crackdown 2. Like, as much as people hated it, like, I thought it was a lot of fun. And my old roommate, John, and I, like, we played the shit out of all three games together. But it was just like, you really only needed a week. And it was just like, for all that build up for years, to just have a game that's just...
Yeah, that was nowhere near what they were claiming it was going to be. Not even.
So, did you not eat many skills for Kills Agent?
Huh?
Okay.
Want to try that again?
That was to the first Crackdown. Damn it! I was saying, do you not need to be very skillful to do well at the game?
Well, yeah, it was probably that way. Yeah. Like, it was pick up and play. Like, who cared? And so. Yeah, I mean, like, if they ever do make another Crackdown game, like, either it better cost hell of a lot less than what the third one did, or just make it, like, some sort of free-to-play thing. And
Don't make it.
I don't think the first one cost a whole lot to make, though. It just happened to work very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
or get Game Pass and play it.
And then I've got a third one just for shits and giggles.
Driving Essentials XE, which I had to review. Not like it wasn't particularly poorly made, but honestly, if you're going to make a driving simulator for a console, you should probably support steering wheels.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
And I loved their explanation. It's just like, well, nothing can really, you know, nothing would be better than being behind the actual wheel of a car. And this is only meant as support.
Look, there's one thing that comes in
guide for for the SAT. So you should really only just use your controller, and that's all we're going to do. And it's just, shut up. You're just lazy.
Chris, no, what were you going to say?
No.
No.
No, Chris Taylor, controller. Other Chris.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, they're like, there's no way to replicate the feel of a real steering wheel. It's like, well, there's a way you can get slightly close.
Yeah.
That's the steering wheel that
maybe with, you know, maybe for video they games. Retrofitted their cars with controllers for steering wheels.
Oh. Ooh. There was also that Steel Battalion game, I think is what it was.
Oh, that was on 360 Kinect.
Okay, then that's not the right game.
Oh, I thought you were talking about you know, the Steel Battalion
from the original Xbox with the big ass controller.
Yep. $150.
Huge disappointment because you can't play it without an old Xbox.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of that game that was supposed to be a stealth game that was supposed to be something kind of like Metal Gear Solid, but it ended up being just a dumpster fire. Can't remember.
I have no clue.
But
I don't know.
I'll look it up real quick.
Remember back in the day when we only could complain about Daikatana?
Oh my
Look
god.
Look how far we've come.
We actually have a question from Root Beer is My Jam, who asked a little bit ago, what is the one item on your Christmas wish list? Mine is add some fucking customizable folders and search on the Switch.
Amen.
Which is a good idea.
Let you be able to view your friends' wish lists on the Switch so you could actually gift them things.
How about be allowed to message your friends on the Switch?
Be able to see your friend's real name on the Switch.
You're asking a lot there, pal.
Yeah, I have no clue who half my friends on the Switch are.
On the Switch.
So what's on everyone's Christmas wish list? What are you guys looking forward to? Or what do you wish you could get?
Christmas?
Cyberpunk. Right? I want that Cyberpunk game. I know it's not out yet. I don't care.
There we go.
I want it so
bad. Shimigami Tensei 5. There we go.
Oh.
I want to fucking finish it already. I want it. Aside from that, I don't think I have too much. I'm usually just kind of a go-with-the-flow-and-play-games guy.
You certainly have enough to play.
I want one of those arcade one-up machines. I would love to get one of those for my house.
Hell yeah.
Get an arcade three-up moon.
Anybody else have Christmas wish list? Anything?
I just want some Amazon fucking free time to make some music.
Yeah. Well, you can quit your job, I mean.
Yeah!
I never said it was a good idea, but it worked, don't it?
I guess I wouldn't mind some more high profile musician interviews. That'd be pretty freaking awesome. You're surprisingly hard to get.
Yeah, they're normally tough. I didn't even make I haven't made a list in years. Like,
I just maintain my Amazon list because every now and then somebody wants to buy me something for some fucking
reason. You know what? What's in my Amazon list? Let's see here. Amazon.
Let's find out.
I don't even know if I have my one.
Mine is all just paint supplies.
I have a wish list? I do have a wish list. Okay. It's actually not that. There's like five things on it. It's like something that's kind of like a GoPro, but not a GoPro, and a gimbal for that, and that's it.
The Chinese knockoff. No Time Wants Sparklight for Christmas.
It's a Yee. Y-I.
Hmm.
See.
What I would love for Christmas is I would love to get to 15 subs so we can have our goddamn wet pancakes emote. That's what I want. I just want to get to 15. I don't care if it goes back down, because I think once you unlock it, it's unlocked for good. I just want to get there so we could get our wet pancakes emote without having to need better TTV.
Get the wet pancakes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Get the wet pancakes.
Who's
Devon?
Doing that?
Five sub short.
Devon. Who's doing that?
Doing what?
I'm pretty sure that was
Who
Tim.
Did that wet pancake voice?
Because that was really
me.
Good.
That was me. Yeah.
Damn. You're hired.
He's been practicing. It's like, oh, please notice.
I don't even think I could do that.
Oh no.
Get the wet pancakes.
Get See? The wet pancakes.
Get the wet
pancakes. Yeah, you got it, dude.
Wet pancakes.
Wet.
Wet pancakes. I found the name of the game,
Only
Left Alive.
The wettest pancakes.
Oh, Left Alive, the Front Mission 3 shitfest. Or the Front Mission Universe shitfest.
Yes.
For the PS4. Yeah. I heard that one was
so
bad.
Good, and then it came out, and it was apparently fucking just.
That took place in the Front Mission universe?
Yeah.
Pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Gotta love how they bring out that old chestnut and just completely fuck it up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Chestnut.
Nuts. Pernell, are you back home? Because you sound clearer.
I am. I just walked in the door.
Nice.
Yeah,
so it was a successful trip.
On an open
hey, Pernell, what Best Buy did you go to?
The one close
one
to him?
Closest to my house. Oh my God. Well,
he's trying to dox him.
Low key. I guess I should just message you on that on Facebook. Yeah, good point. Never mind.
Like, wait a minute. I'm just... What do you buy?
Uh oh. Hey, dude. Sing your social security number for ducks.
555-1212. Steal my info. It ain't good.
Holy shit. Root Beer's My Jam just gifted 5 subs.
Wow.
So we made it to 15. Oh my God.
Shit.
I'm pretty sure one of them was my pathetic ass, too.
Quickly, we realize that what this show needs is more doxing attempts.
Yeah, we need more doxing. George, you got to give us some wet pancakes for all those subs.
Fuck. I already did the drum kit, too. How am I going to top that?
Just go old school.
Another drum kit.
Oh, dropping fucking bits all over your wet pancakes.
Okay.
The jaw heart makes it.
Oh my.
That was great.
Oh my God. This is such a shit show. I love it. Well, I know we've been chatting for a while. Is there anything any of you guys want to chat about before we wrap this up and move on?
Things you're most looking forward to next year.
There you go.
Nobody,
what's everyone looking forward to next year? Oh,
nobody
Cole.
Let me say what I was disappointed in.
What were you disappointed in?
Not getting
besides being on this show.
So clearly she says she was most disappointed in us fuckers. Dead,
Decay of Logos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, second.
I was so heartbroken that it sucked so bad.
Yeah.
Was it participating in or something? I never heard of it.
I was, yeah. It's very Zelda-ish.
But hard
and
as hell.
It's incredibly gorgeous. Yeah, it's like if Zelda was raped by Dark Souls.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. And then it didn't work.
I wasn't going to say it, but wow.
Am
That's
I
one
wrong?
Way to put it.
Am I wrong?
No.
Okay.
Damn!
And the
couldn't be taken consensually by Dark Souls? it's possible.
Hardcore anal rape in an alley.
That's what I was saying.
In the rain.
In the rain.
In the rain.
And it was by a dog.
You're like setting a scene here, and I'm not. I don't feel comfortable.
Did somebody say anal raping?
You should have heard her talking about rhino butts. I mean, you missed a good episode.
Yeah, you missed that rhino ass.
Jesus, Cole.
All up on that rhino.
Holy shit.
Like, I was so shocked that it existed that I had to just share it with everybody.
I'm still angry I didn't get to play that game.
you missed out on rhino butt.
Dark Meek is a furry. Drunk Meek is a furry.
Just a little bit, maybe. Oh, no. I don't know if I'm quite that much of a furry, but...
Let's get back to the anal crate.
You know, I saw the trailer to Cats, and I never looked back.
Fuck that. I don't know.
I'll just wait for the day one patch.
Did you hear that? Yeah, they're getting a patch. They're patching the movie.
Yeah, that's that hilarious. They are.
I mean, they got to get those return dollars for people going back to see the better version.
Those are the only dollars they're going to get.
Because, you know, it only made like $9 million this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, sucks. It was up against Star Wars besides just being Cats.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I like Cats. The
Angelical Cat is an unprofitable cat.
But they gave it the Alley treatment, and I'm still sad about that too.
Alley treatment? Do I even want to know what that means?
We just talked about it, you drunk ass.
Sorry, I've had like 20 shots. It's not my fault.
The back alley treatment, the Decay of Logos treatment.
Oh yeah, okay. Your inebriation is not
remember
my
in the rain.
Like,
I thought alias in like a person's name. I was so confused.
God.
Chris Taylor, what were you about to say?
Oh, I was like about to ask like if the most disappointing is like code for worst game of the year or if it's a separate category, because most disappointing is definitely Decay of Logos. Because I wanted it to be good and it just I couldn't get around all the myriad issues, because the worst game was Agony.
But that was
I have that. Horrible. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, I remember someone asked me to review that, and I was like, no.
it came back around. Listen,
do you guys realize how rare it is for me to say no when Joe's like, hey, do you want this? Like, I almost never say no. I've been getting
it to him all the time.
That one was hard.
But there are times where I'm just like, uh-uh.
Fuck that.
Not this time.
Fuck like, that and fuck you too,
more
Joe.
Than 30 minutes to answer the message, I'm probably going to say no.
I said no the first time, but I said if no, everybody else says no, then I'll take it if it comes back around to me.
So yeah, that's my other man of the people. I don't want it.
I love the fact that you did that because what likely happened is that I said the same thing, but since you asked you first, it got to you first. Yep.
It got back to me first, and I was like, well, I'm taking one for the team then.
Everyone takes one for the team, and I appreciate it when you guys do.
Yeah.
I knew what that game was going to be going in. Decay of Logos actually looked really interesting to me, so I was really excited to play it. And, you know, they're both, like, $20 games that really don't need to be.
Yeah, I think Decay of Logos is all about cute elf girls. That was it.
Honestly, though, you got to admit, though, there's something to be said about occasionally reviewing a crappy game, because it helps us appreciate the games that we get that are good, too.
Dude, that's how I felt about going out to a karaoke bar last weekend. For real. Because it was it had been years. And
speaking of agony.
Oh, dude. There's some people that went up there and just literally like, they can't, there's no way that they can hear
themselves. I don't want to wait.
Like, there's
a time to be over.
Dude, so rough, man.
I got to make sure here. Now, we're not just saying a person who's an average singer, they're not going to get a contract deal. They can carry a tune. They just don't sound great. You're saying this is just like somebody.
They cannot have ears. Like,
taking them away.
Like, it's so fucking rough, dude. Like, literally, there was a guy, or there was a chick up there that was trying to sing, it was Don't Stop Believin'.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Oh, boy, was that
fun. That wasn't my drunk ass, was it?
Believing. Don't stop. Do not do that.
Just
Believing.
Yeah.
Please keep believing.
But she was literally like, don't stop. Believe in, hold on to that feeling, yeah.
It's like, okay, like that episode of Family Guy when Kiss was performing, and they're like, "I want to rock and roll all night," and they put the mic on Lois. He's like,
"And have a really good time."
Yeah. I remember that. Oh,
Like karaoke, I don't mind people getting up there and and having fun and stuff. But I think the problem for me is compounded by the fact that I don't drink.
I don't either. So that's
so every karaoke session is stone cold sober.
Yeah. So that's why I was like, I had just finished doing a sound gig like 2 or 3 blocks over, which the sound gig was for like some band called Angel that was like this 70s like glam prog band, and they were fucking incredible. Like,
nice.
Like they were all in their like 70s and just like killed it. Like,
nice.
You had me at glam prog.
Dude,
they're in their 70s.
They're so good. Like, oh my. They're so good.
Gilf, gilf, gilf.
What? Glam, I'd like to fuck.
Grandpa.
Yeah, that's what it means.
Glam, grandpa.
Oh,
glampa.
Glampa. LOL.
We all have problems.
Rolf! Oh,
boy. We're naming Muppets now? Is that what's going on?
I love the Muppets. They're so awesome.
How can we come coming back to this show? Yeah, because you don't have anything better to do.
kill me.
By the way, Tim, if you need a voice actor for The Crossing, hook up with Joel.
That was the worst Alf as Waldorf and Stantler I've ever done in my life this week.
And Kermit broke up with that fat pig bitch, finally.
Wait, with another pig. Candy?
So...
Wasn't there a second? Didn't Miss Piggy have a sister?
I don't know. Probably turned into bacon.
Miss Piggy.
Who did that?
Kirby. You say oh Kirby? Because that sounded like oh Kirby. Now,
oh shit! Oh god! Oh no!
Walking on Kermit with fucking Kirby.
Kirby.
Kirby. I'd love that damn
Chef is always the best.
That reminds me, I want the untitled Beaker game to become a real thing.
Oh my god, that needs to be a real thing.
I know, right?
They should just make it DLC.
Damn straight.
That would be amazing if they did.
Would he just be an asshole just like everyone else? Just like the Gooses? Or
yeah, why not?
What would be the premise of untitled Beaker game?
Getting scared by everything?
Yeah. the game actually works in reverse.
So yeah, good he's terrorizing himself.
Yeah.
How long can you play without having a heart attack?
How you doing, yeah?
Oh,
man.
Oh, my God.
So,
I can't wait for next year, though.
Oh. You were asking earlier about most anticipated game for 2020, and I was going to say Trials of Mana, the remake, but then I realized Fight Crab has been pushed to 2020.
Oh, Fight Crab.
Fight Crab.
Absolutely Fight Crab.
That is a thing that exists.
How is it not Cyberpunk? Fight
Crab.
Because apparently it's a fighting crab. Which, what? This was why I asked. I knew that one of you was going to pull up some crazy shit that I had never heard of that now I want to know more about. And Fight Crab is it.
Fight Crab.
Yeah, get yourself learned on Fight Crab because it's coming. And it's going to take the world by storm.
I have a feeling there's going to be a couple of you guys fighting over that one, but I think, Tim, you asked first. So.
Oh, I don't... I'll buy it. I don't care. In fact,
cool, I got dibs.
Fight Crab.
I never cry if I don't
round one.
Is that two people's junk fighting because they both have crabs or something, or what?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is.
It could be.
It's genital jousting. In other words, is what it is.
Genital jousting. Fuck yeah.
Yo, genital jousting has a story mode now.
That's right. It's called Chump Chicken.
It's actually like Pikmin, except your crabs infect somebody else's junk.
Uh-huh.
Dude, Joe, did Prozac never tell you about Chump Chicken?
No.
Oh, no. This can't end well.
Chub Chicken.
It can't end well, so that's why it's going to happen.
Very well.
Yep.
Chub Chicken is where two guys get in a shower, and they get naked.
Oh, wait, yeah, I've played this.
And then they stand across from each other, and they start wiggling back and forth like...
Jesus Christ.
And whoever gets the first stiffy loses.
Oh, loses? Okay.
Chub Chicken.
this crazy
Jesus
bastard.
Christ.
This is the best thing I've learned in like a month.
That's how they get down over there in the freaking Pacific Northwest, man. That cave shit. Woohoo.
Oh,
cave
my culture! God. Oh my god. On the note of Chubb Chicken, I think we're gonna wrap this up here. We have a couple of reviews that Chris, Purnell, and Cole and I have to take care of, so we're gonna let the rest of you guys go.
Chubb Chicken.
Well, that explains why none of y'all got
incredible.
Oh my god.
There's Chubb Chicken.
There's Chubb Chicken. Yeah, so. Come, shot.
Are you the dentist now?
I don't like that.
The drill is one of the best sounds that you could ever use in a song.
It really is. It's almost like it's almost as good as the ass raping sound.
What? Let's hear that one.
I think that's what we're hearing now.
I love how hard Joe is trying to wrap this show up and how
it doesn't
hard
matter.
The show is rallying against him.
It doesn't matter at all.
I'm the captain now.
This is the SML podcast. Eat a dick.
George, we got to get you to do the next theme song.
He wrote your theme.
He just did. God. I mean, yeah, you got it now.
No, a studio recording, not just a shitty Skype call.
Whacking off to
there's your fucking theme song. Podcast. Chew up that shit, motherfucker.
George, you do the best music for this show, by the way.
Lollipop podcast.
Like even with the Christmas stuff, you go above and beyond what everybody else has done with the jingle bells, where you just do it manually by hand.
I do. It's the only way to do it. See?
I'm surprised you still have them.
Still sitting in the same box I had them in last year.
I have a sample pad that I can now play them live. So
yes.
Yeah.
When's your next show, Chris?
Oh, I'm using them Friday. I used them over the weekend too. So.
Oh my god.
I can't wait. I'm actually. I think I'm going to program an 8-bit and a 16-bit kit into there, and I'm going to bring it to MAGFest.
Nice.
Methinks.
That'd be awesome.
Use it to jam.
Good old MAGFest.
Guys, I'm going to see a lot of you in like 2 weeks.
Where?
No,
is
just
MAGFest?
A couple.
Yeah,
just a couple.
I can't make it this year.
I'm so bummed. Jacob, you're not going. Cole, you're not going. Aki, you're not going. Chris Taylor, you're not going. DC. No.
Okay, so I guess. Grant, I'll see you.
I would go, but that's D.C. I live in Indiana. Ain't happening. That's way
you can make it.
Yeah, if I had the money. I just spent fucking $100 on one medical bill for fuck's sake.
I was picking that up.
Yeah.
Mississippi Joe!
If you don't want to...
This is now my show!
Oh, shit.
This is a goddamn cracker.
That sounded familiar already.
I don't know what's going on with this show anymore. It's off the rails. It's a train wreck.
Love it.
So...
Everyone else should have gotten as drunk as I did.
God damn it, there's another copyright strike.
No, it's just the same one from before, extended all the way down.
To its logical conclusion.
It's just one long red bar on the bottom.
Yes! We've invalidated the whole show.
Well, beat you to it. We already invalidated it.
Yeah, I've been on the show. There's no
all over your face.
Our mere existence has invalidated it.
Oh, glad that'll all over my face.
What the fuck anyway, was
Joe,
that?
Joe, I will see you in like a week.
Chris, I'll see you in a week. Thank you for coming on and doing this. You have yourself a good night.
I will also bye, see guys. You in I like love a week. You all.
Tim, bye. It was good having you on chatting. Yeah. I will see you soon, and thanks again for doing this.
It's a threat and a promise.
Yeah.
Wow. The best kind. All right.
Kinky.
Bye, guys. Kinky. Bye. Wait, no, I have the call.
No, that's right.
Chris holds the call.
I think you could still exit out. I think you could still exit out, and the call will keep going.
No, I can't. Nope, I'm here. Nope.
Well, if you want to stick around for reviews, that's fine. But we got reviews to do.
Because no one man should have all this power. All right, I'm out. Bye.
Take it easy, Tim.
Unlimited power!
See you later, Joe.
See you, Aki. So, Jacob, you're still here. Are you heading out as well? Or are you going to stick around?
You haven't said bye to me, so I haven't left yet.
All right, get the fuck out of here.
Well, fuck you too, Joe.
Thanks for being here, Jacob.
Eat a dick.
And George, thank you for being here.
My I know
we worked around
pleasure.
Your schedule, so I'm glad that we could get you on here. You contributed so much insanity to this episode.
It was fun. Thanks for working around me and all that shit.
Awesome. And we'll talk to you in the new year.
Yeah.
Hugs and kisses, George.
Red pancakes. Bye, George. Oh, good night.
All right. We have some work to do. Actually, we have a giveaway that we've got to take care of.
Oh, fuck.
An email giveaway, and there's four Ooh. Codes to give away, and four of us, so I figure each one of us can pick a winner.
What?
Yes,
I'm not really Eternum doing that X. anymore. I stopped getting down. Ever since I get all the blood drippings and all that jazz, it's no more picking.
Yeah, we've got four copies of Eternum X to give away. You had to email us to get in on this. Entries are closed, so if you're hanging out in chat wishing you would have got involved, fucking follow us on Twitter and keep an eye out on us. And we asked you for your worst Christmas present that you've ever gotten. And the four worst Christmas presents are going to get a copy of Eternum X on the Xbox One. The first entry is from Tracy, who says, my mom bought me Christmas-shaped scouring pads one year.
What's wow. a Christmas? What's a Christmas shape?
How I do don't you know.
Like a tree.
Yeah, maybe a tree.
Yeah?
Or an ornament.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
What if it's just a rectangle?
It's shaped like a present.
Yeah, exactly. Shaped like a
that's a pretty shitty present.
Next email is from Scott, who says, hey, entering the competition for Eternum X, I'd say my worst Christmas gift ever was a t-shirt from my sister that said worst brother ever with an arrow pointing to my face.
Wow.
That's a pretty good one.
That's good, but I think that's pretty thoughtful. It's very personalized.
Like, in the right setting, if you have the right kind of relationship with your brother, you can get away with that.
Yeah. Next email is from Aroto Tomato, so this is going to be a long one, who says, oh boy, let me tell you, there was a few, but I want to focus on not one Xmas gift, but an entire Christmas event. You see, me and my buddies usually have a thing called Christmas barbecue. It's an ancient tradition, but very niche, and I don't think you heard about it. Anyway, it was Christmas 2015, me and my buddies were lying on the floor getting drunk, burning some meat in the whatever it's called, place where you burn the meat. It's basically what we do every year, but this time something different happened. There was a dumbass with us. I didn't know him personally. It was a friend of a guy from school or something, blah, blah. Let's call him Jerry. So Jerry was an idiot. He started drinking like it was going out of, oh my God, this is a long one. He started drinking like it was going out of style. Like, seriously, have you ever seen the movie World's End from Edgar Wright? He was all the characters in one. 2 hours after the party started, he was already a zombie. People were a little on edge about him, but at the same time, no one there was his mom, so we just minded our own business. Thing is, around midnight, we always go out to see the celebration around town. We walk together on foot like a biker gang, minus the bikes, just enjoying people, enjoying the Christmas spirit. Jerry decided he was able to walk at this point, even though he barely could, told us he was coming with, and we barely heard him. Halfway down the street, going downtown, Jerry, let's say, gets very jumpy, I imagine from all the booze. He's grabbing everyone, kissing people, hugging from behinds, all that stuff. And 15 minutes later, he goes quiet, starts walking slow like a robot, but a very shitty one, like from the 70s that's rusty. And then he falls, completely lights out. All of a sudden, the group of people with us disbanded. They're smart. After all, if the cops showed up, it wasn't going to be their fault. Except I promised my good friend, let's call him Jeremy, that I would help the guy being Jerry, of course. He's one of my best friends, Jeremy is, so against my own ideals and principles, I stayed to help him out. We tried dragging the bum, slapping the shit out of his face. A third guy was trying to help, mention the idea of someone pissing on his face. We denied. Oh, Lord. Funny thing, we were near the hospital. It was like a few feet away, but we were too drunk to be that smart, so we tried hitchhiking instead. After a few attempts and a few cars passing, ask us what happened, sarcastically saying, well, good luck, and driving off, one kind soul stopped. He was scared. He said, oh my God, is he okay? So we explained the situation, told him we needed a ride home to drop the bum on the couch until the morning. He agreed, so we grabbed Jerry's body, but when trying to throw him in the back of the car, Jeremy, my friend, made the comment. He said, careful with his head, he's vomiting poorly chewed meat and wine. All of a sudden, the owner of the car desperately runs in our direction, yelling, no, no, no. And then he pulled Jerry from the back by the legs, leaving him on the sidewalk again. We asked, what happened? He replied, this is my sister's car. Hold on, stay here. I'll go grab my car and be right back. I can't have him barfing all over her car. So we agreed and waited for him to return. I swear 30 minutes went by and this motherfucker never returned. My friend Jeremy started getting a little antsy and then he went nuts, started slapping Jeremy's face like he like was slapping Jerry's face like his fist was a brick. Wake up. You're under my responsibility. Wake up. He screamed. Jerry, only hint of life throughout this whole affair, was opening his left eye halfway every 5 minutes, just long enough for him to vomit some more poorly chewed up meat and wine, then going back to sleep. Eventually, the other guy with us disappeared, so Jeremy goes crazy some more. Lo and behold, the third friend returns after a couple of minutes, the hero of the story. After fighting the booze in his brain long enough to have an epiphany, discovered the front desk in the hospital, where he asks someone to come help us, a nurse in an ambulance. Nurse injected Jerry with something and then we dragged his ass to the back of the ambulance. On the way home, someone had to ride shotgun with the ambulance driver to tell him directions. We chose Jeremy, who later told us it was a bad idea because he was the most drunk out of all of us and forgot where he lived. Thankfully, after failing as a human GPS for a while, he eventually stumbled on the right path and we were in front of his house. Jerry, of course, barfed all over the van while my friend was yelling at me, pick up the cotton, and I kept looking at his hand. He was holding a piece of cotton with blood in it. Not from any of us, just from random blood. I said, fuck that, I ain't grabbing this shit. So my friend threw it on the ground again. I don't even know why he grabbed it. Again, booze. We dragged Jerry out, and I was so pissed at this point, I wanted to see Jerry suffer, so I started rolling him on the floor like a carpet all the way to the bathroom, left him under the cold shower. Jerry finally wakes up screaming, ah, too cold, but we could barely understand because he was still pretty zombie-like. And then some more meat and wine started pouring out of his mouth, and then we gave him a pillow so he could sleep on the kitchen floor. The rest of us played Soul Calibur 2 until 6 a.m., and afterwards I went home. The moral of the story is Soul Calibur 2 is fucking awesome.
So was the present Soul Calibur?
That's just his worst Christmas event. That was a long one.
The present, yes, it was. The present was the nap that we all got to take through that
one. Pretty much. Next email is from BX Latino Heat, who says, hello to the SML podcast. As a kid one Christmas, I was expecting a good gift for getting good grades in school. I was expecting action figures and cars. I wound up getting the two worst gifts a kid would ever expect. First was a metal fort that had cowboys and Indians, but it came dented and looked like it had been through hell. I started crying, but the family members who gave me this gift didn't give a shit, and then proceeded to open the second gift, which was only one left to open, happened to be a battery-operated walking, talking robot. When I desperately broke out the toy, the robot's right arm was broken, and it was sent by the manufacturer defective, which then threw me in a tantrum, getting punished for a week. Thanks so much to the SML podcast for experiencing my tragic Christmas.
So, I was expecting to really say Lee Caravello's putting challenge.
Well, that's got my vote so far.
Well, we got a couple more.
Gift.
Yeah. Well, right. I'm sure that was years and years ago. I don't know. Anyway, next email is from our own Jacob Garner, who says, "Hey all, so I think the worst Christmas gift I ever got was a mix CD that my ex-girlfriend gave me when she realized that proposing to me wasn't in the cards for that Christmas. Or it was a bunch of music that was supposed to remind me of us, at least I think it was. It was a pretty awkward moment, and I don't recall whether I ever actually listened to it. I may even still have it tucked away in one of my boxes of CDs. I really have no idea. Another shitty gift was the Walking Dead board game that she bought me, and then said it was a present for us. I'm not a fan of the Walking Dead, don't really care about it, so the idea that it was given to me with my name on it on the tag when it was something that she wanted was baffling to me. No matter, when we broke up, I gave it to some friends because damn if I wasn't going to burn everything to the ground. They ended up playing it once and then gave it away to another board game group because they said the game sucked and they figured it was cursed from being in a shitty relationship."
Well, okay, that was going to win for me primarily because it got me thinking about that old Simpsons episode where Homer got Marge the bowling ball that said Homer on it. Oh, and God. When I first saw that episode, I was like, who the hell actually does that shit? Well, now I know.
Yeah, bad relationship gifts are like the most tragic thing in the world.
Yes, they are. Because I can't even fathom in my mind doing something like that. Like, you know, hey, baby, here's Shin Megami Tensei 5. I know you've been waiting for it. What the? Shin Megami, what? Exactly. You'll love it. I know you've been waiting. Like, I can't even bring myself to do some shit like that. I'm going to just give her a gift card and say, figure it out.
It's on you.
Exactly.
Next email is from Tit Shits McGee. Haven't heard from them in a while, but they say my worst Christmas gift was having to listen to you fuckers for how many years? Absolute torture. For real, though, yeah. Merry Christmas to all of you assholes. Tit Shits.
Well, joke's on you, asshole. We never said it was a gift.
You owe us.
Pony up.
Oh, no, we have another long one from... From Root Beer's My Jam, who says, I got a knockoff Lunchables wannabe. So I guess I should give this a bit of backstory just to make sure the listeners at home aren't yelling rigged and lock him up. And I kid you not, for those who have seen the latest wild call and responses at the Trump rallies in the early morning light of the clusterfucked hangover this planet has been subjected to, aka the impeachment hearings, I kid you not, folks, toilets. Yes, that is a thing that is being yelled by crowds of presidential supporters at his rallies in the year of 2019, because fuck it, why not? Hey, that's our review scale. So the year must be 1990 or thereabouts, during the ramp up to what would be, unbeknownst to him, the next dozen moon cycles, the apex of Root Beer's My Jam social status and sexual prowess. Being extremely busy with extracurricular activities and sports, young Root Beer would often ask his guardian to purchase a popular new product that his school lunchrooms like wildfire to give him sustenance for high energy expenditure lifestyle called Lunchables. After many repeated requests that were swiftly rebuked by those just expensive cut-up pieces of bologna, cheese, and crackers, don't be daft, Root Beer gave up on his last hope of ever being cool like his friends. Until one day, months in fact, after giving up hope and bringing to his lips the salty goodness of processed, mass-marketed, and highly unsustainably packaged, unformably void of nutrition, perfectly flying discs, it was Christmas Day. Late to rise after being pestered by his little root beer brother, groggily made his way downstairs to begrudgingly open his presents. Thing looked pretty bleak this year since the local mill that sustained the Quebec logging town where root beer lived had their economy decimated by a greedy, Cyrillic sneer-type capitalist. Among the unusual necessary re-ups of socks and school supplies, there was a curious box under the tree that hopefully looked promising. It was the wrong size to be an NES cartridge, so Root Beer was perplexed as to what it could be. When he held it in his hands, it was surprisingly light and made an odd sound when shaken. Feeling highly suspicious, Root Beer tore into the wrapping paper, and his jaw hit the fucking floor in astonishment. Then he was realized he was gifted a snack he had requested months ago. It wasn't even the brand name product everyone knows as Lunchables, which now in Canada are called Lunchmate Stackers. Nope, this was a knockoff similar to what you now know as the no-name brand grocery items from the Canadian discount chain No Frills. Fuck you, Santa. Root Beer is My Jam. P.S. Attached is a modern version for comparison. Note that the price is completely off. Those stupid things retail for maybe $3.89 Canadian in a corner store or drugstore, I'd imagine. What nonsense. So, Root Beer got Lunchables.
Wow.
That one
even,
is
a, and he's been a liberal ever since.
A knockoff Lunchable.
A knockoff Lunchable.
Straight up Brunchables.
Yeah.
That does make me sad, yeah.
Final email is from John Prudlow, who says, Dear SML Podcast, when I was a young one, I received my favorite Christmas present. Under the tree, I received a copy of TIE Fighter on CD-ROM for PC. I was so excited to play this game. Since then, I've played numerous games on PC and console. I think you gave us your favorite gift instead of your worst Christmas gift.
Who sent this?
John Prudlow.
Okay.
Funny thing is, I didn't know what TIE Fighter was, so I typed it into Google, but it wasn't thinking, and so I typed in TIE, like the country, Thailand.
Okay. Yeah.
It still pulled it up, though.
That works. So yeah, Tracy got Christmas scouring pads, Scott got the worst brother ever shirt, Aroto got Soul Calibur 2 story, Latino Heat got bad toys, Jacob got the CD and the Walking Dead board game, Tit Shits got our show, Root Beer's My Jam got Lunchables, and John got the TIE Fighter CD-ROM game.
Which was actually really good.
What choices have you fellas made?
Root Beer gets one for them knockoff Lunchables, though.
Okay, that's so Root Beer's your winner. Chris, who's your winner?
Oh, my one winner out of everybody?
Yep.
The guy who got the Cowboys and Indian thing and then the broken robot.
Okay, so that goes to Latino Heat. Purnell, who's your pick?
Still going with the board game labeled Homer.
I gotta give that it to Christmas choice, scouring yeah. pads.
Yeah.
That was where I was gonna go with until that story came up. Because the idea of Christmas scouring pads, like, we made cleaning fun. Like, no, you didn't. Made it more depressing somehow.
I'm just still, my mind is reeling. I'm like trying to imagine a sponge that is just encapsulates the entire essence of Christmas and its shape.
I'd imagine a tree shape. That's my guess.
It probably is. And that actually sounds pretty good. Like, you could get into corners with it, like, really well. It's already got the little slats for, like, cleaning knives and stuff.
Oh, God. So, yeah, Tracy, Latino Heat, Jacob, and Root Beer's My Jam, you are all winners. You will be getting emails with your game. So Merry Christmas, and hopefully this gift is better than the shitty ones that you've gotten before.
Such as this show.
Yes, this awful, awful show. Anyway, we do have four reviews we got to take care of. We're going to start off with Dawn of Man, developed and published by Madruga Works, released December 18th on Xbox One for $24.99. Command a settlement of ancient humans, guide them through the ages in their struggle for survival, hunt, gather, craft tools, fight, research new techs, and face the challenges the environment will throw at you. Cole, tell us about Dawn of Man.
So, I don't think it's any surprise that I love strategy games and, like, city-building games. And it's kind of a no-brainer that I've really enjoyed Dawn of Man. Because that's exactly what it is. You start off in the Stone Age with your little Neanderthal-like people, and you need to teach them to hunt and to build tents. And they gradually gain knowledge from surviving and you know, hunting and gathering. And you work your way up through the different ages so that they can eventually not be Neanderthals. But they can't do it without you micromanaging them. You have to be conscious of everything that's going on around them. When I started initially, I was doing a pre-play, and I was like, this is easy. There's nothing around me but some deer. This is mild. Everything is super easy to hunt and kill. And then one day, while I'm just casually chilling out, collecting some berries, my whole village gets attacked by a bear.
Oh, God.
Well, fuck. I was an idiot. Because the longer you play, the more the wilderness creeps back in around you.
Mm.
And so, even though you're depleting resources, they'll gradually come back. You do need to move around in the initial stages to, you know, keep up with the movement of the animals, because you will deplete your resources in an area. You can't stay there forever, initially. So you need to gradually, you know, put your knowledge points that you earn from surviving toward upgrades that'll let you do more. So you start off, you only have like sticks and stones for weapons, and then you can move on to bones, and then if you upgrade enough, you can start making flint weapons, and then you get a little more industrialized. While there is some pretty solid, like, freedom for how you choose to upgrade, you need to unlock everything in an era before you can move to the next era. And then you eventually need to unlock everything. So, like, you can't go from Paleolithic to Mesolithic.
See, Lord, I'm not the only one who can't it. Talk. Yes.
Fuck. You can't go from that to the Neolithic. Oh, see, I avoided it that time. And then from Neolithic to copper to bronze to iron. You can't do that unless you unlock everything and learn every skill in that particular age. Just a moment.
Cole died.
Is she okay?
Rip.
F in chat for Cole. Yeah, pretty much. F in chat for Cole.
Ooh, Cole, come back! Come back, Cole!
Oh, Lord.
What happened?
David knocked on the door, and I'm like, he apparently went out the back door and came around and forgot that I was recording.
Nice.
And I'm like, he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm recording. What are you fucking doing?
Not recording.
Like, well, I named my code. I was walking the dogs.
Freeze, damn it. Work.
Goddamn. Worst husband ever.
He rubs your back.
That's true. Okay, just, so moderately acceptable husband, then, I guess. Yeah.
Like, he was pretty just great until he needed a damn coat. What kind of man wears a coat? I don't even want to know.
Let the dogs out, sit in the car, and turn on the heater.
What kind of a man wears a coat?
Jesus, like it's
I don't know who that kind of man is.
Shit.
Frankly, I don't want to know. It's not a man for SML, I can tell you that much.
Coats are
so anyway, don a man.
Yeah. Anyway, I bet these guys don't need any fucking coats. That's not true. You do have to keep them warm. They will die of hypothermia. A lot of things in this world is trying to kill these people. bears, wolves. Don't even go for a bison if you've only got sticks and stones, because they're gonna fuck your world up. Like you have a special vision that you can use that shows you what's safe for them to go to send your people after. Sometimes I forget to click it, and then I send them after lions, mountain lions, and then they die.
That works.
But on the other hand, it's good population control, because you have to manage how many people you have, and sometimes some of them, they eat a little too much. Not if you feed them to a lion, though.
Oh, God.
Then the lion's eating too much.
And then you kill the lion, and then meat for everybody that's left.
The circle!
You know, it's just, it's the long way around, because
the circle of life.
We haven't made it to the birth control age yet, so we gotta do what we gotta do.
Gotta feed them the lions.
That's terrible.
I'm kind of a crummy person, aren't I? The game has free play mode, but it also has three different challenges, as well as like a creative mode that you can play on. I was kind of surprised by that. Normally, with these types of strategy games, is like, here's a couple of challenges and here's just, you know, hope for the best mode. I will admit I am a diehard hope for the best mode. I'll sit and play free play and just see how many ways I can kill my people. It's like,
how do you?
I will build up morale just enough to encourage new people to come, drop a few babies, and then murder everybody and start all over again. I can't wait to see just see how many different ways I can kill people in the mines. Yeah. Because unfortunately, murdering everybody like slows down progress. And
you would expect that.
Can't imagine why. But, you know, you don't get to see as much of the game if you jump head on in into murdering everybody. But it's more fun that way. The game plays incredibly well. There's a lot of hit or miss in these games when they're on console as to how they're the keyboard bind or the controller binding is everything. And I will say that Dawn of Man, I think the controls are a little, they tried to simplify them, but they overthought it. And so they end up being a little more difficult than they should be at first. Once you adjust to them, it's like, oh, never mind, I'm fine. But I found it, I kept wanting to like pick individual people or and to send them to do one thing. And then I'd want to send a group to go do something else. And the individual I had set to do one job would just go wandering with the group. And it's like, No. You got to go over there and die to the lion. Everybody else is going to go get Flint. You are cougar bait.
Damn. Don't sugarcoat it.
That day.
I would get frustrated because I couldn't get the group to separate out the way I wanted. It would be nice if there was like a select all on screen type of button or something like that so you could like micromanage a little more. But, I mean, you get used to it not being there at the same time. The sound they use for sounding an alarm, if your people are being attacked or if your village is being attacked, you can sound an alarm and everybody that's capable of fighting and has a weapon will gather in the middle of your village and then they will, you know, fight back. When you do that, the screen starts to flash around the edges. It flashes red. And then there's like this bullhorn type sound, you know, like if you actually had like a ram's horn and blew through it. I get it. It fits the game. But when you have a longer lasting fight where like other tribes are attacking you and bears and wolves and like shit gets real sometimes. And that fucking horn makes me want to explode. Just, shut up the fucking horn. Where's my controller? So I get a remote. Yes. I'm like, where's the remote? Let me turn this down.
Would it be better if it was?
Yes, it would be celebratory. And then I would be like, I don't know, maybe that would be a bad idea because then I'd be more willing to send people out to die just to hear it. And I'd be like, that's funny.
Gotcha, bitch.
That would be good. That would not fit the game, but it would be good. I'm going to be perfectly honest. When I started the game, I was like, I'm not in love with the appearance of this game. And then the more I play it, the more I notice how many little details there are. And the UI is still ugly. I don't know whose bright idea it was to make it like poop brown. But it was bad, and you need to reconsider your color scheme here. But it's very poop brown and orange. It's almost like the UI come out of 1970. It's simplified, which is great. It's easy to see what you're looking for. It's just ugly.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm not sure when you're panned out. It's everything kind of just looks generic. Now, once you, like, zoom in and you're watching people go about their lives, you're like, that's adorable and there's a crazy amount of attention to detail. Like, I love when the little kids come out of the tents and, like, they're just out collecting rocks and jumping around. Although it was kind of morbid when one of my villagers died. Not through any fault of my own. It was old age. I let that one go. Died of old age. But he died of old age, like, right between the fishing grounds and the hut, and he was just laid out there. And if there is a way to like take care of your dead early in the game, I didn't find it. Because you can put points into spiritual rituals, and you have to eventually. And one of the first things that it lets you do is put skull pikes up. And, like, I was desperate to find out how to put this dude's head on a skull pike. because he kind of deserved it. He made it to old age, which is probably like 28 at you know, in the Paleolithic era. So, I mean, he deserved to have his head put up over the city and a city. Me and my four tents. You know, he deserved it, but he just laid there until he dissolved into the ground. And I never did figure out how to, like, make the people have some kind of ceremony for burial as opposed to just, like, well, there they are. That may actually be, like, something that's limited into, like, the Iron Age or something. Because I know on the menu there are little grave-looking things under spiritual.
Yeah.
I just haven't gotten that many points to unlock it yet. Because I tend to not give a fuck about the spiritual stuff until it makes me. Which that's is bad because, it the spiritual shit improves morale. And I'm just like, I don't give a fuck if you're happy. Get out there and get me some ore. Go feed a lion.
Oh, God. So overall, $25 on this one. What are you thinking?
I think it's got the time in it to, and it justifies it. If you're into these types of strategy games, Dawn of Man is surprisingly a really good one that fills a niche for a game or a time period that doesn't usually get strategy games.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Farabelle, developed by Frog Games, published by Dragius Games, released December 20th on the Switch for $9.99. The strategy game that starts at the end, you know how to level up, but can you level down? Be smart to survive. Purnell, tell us about Farabelle.
Okay, so Farabelle is an odd choice here in that the game starts out at the end of the game. You begin as the king and queen on a campaign to rid your land of the orc army. However, at the end of the first battle, things get a little mucked up and you end up going back in time. The game is broken up into a series of days, but again, you're playing from the backwards. So the way that the game decided they wanted to make it out is that every day is its own scenario. So it's a map. They provide you with the units you're going to have access to, and then they set up a scenario for you to complete. It might be something like, okay, destroy their advancement route, or survive for this period, or defeat a unit, or something like that. And there usually like be like a sub-goal involved where you can get a star if you can complete the sub-goal as well. Now, this game, it's hard to say how I feel about it in the sense of, well, it's a review, so I guess my personal opinion is going to come in, so I'll just go with that.
Just a little.
Just a tad. Typically, I'm a fan of games that are hard, and I'm a fan of games that like to take different routes to make games difficult. However, while I do like they went that route with this game, I do feel weird about it because it's counter to something else I like in my games, which is growth as I can progress through the game. So as you play through each game, and you beat a stage, you go back to a previous moment in the war. And what the game does to kind of give you a sense of that is it makes you remove a skill point from your main character. So as you progress through the game, your characters get weaker and their abilities become weaker too. So you are regressing as you play. Now, from a story standpoint, it makes sense. It's like Memento in that way, though it still almost kind of doesn't make sense because the way the game wrote it, it seems almost like you're actually going back. And I mean, maybe it's just your consciousness is inhabiting the old bodies, but maybe I'm overthinking it. This is like a freaking, like, you know, relaxed game. It's not like a deep, you know, time travel writing or anything like that. But I feel like you shouldn't be losing abilities as you go back in time if you're carrying your consciousness back with you. But anyway, that's how the game itself is done. And that kind of irks me. I like the idea, but I hate the fact that I'm not getting stronger, getting new skills. Though there is one point in the game where you do get access to a new item that allows your main character to perform a little bit more abilities or something. Now, the other gimmick to the game is, well, it's two things. One, each of those scenarios that I mentioned before, where you go to a different stage and they set you up on the map, there's no like unit construction in this game either. Your units are what are there when you start the map, and you just have to keep using them and the best you can to fulfill the level's objective. So there's no like character building. You're not going to sit there and try to figure out, you know, unit stats or anything like that. It's just, this is the characters I've got. This is what they're able to do. Put them to use. Now, with that said, characters do have different abilities. Like, you might have a mage character that can summon elementals to help you fight on the field. You might have a character where, when he's positioned next to friendly units, he has a critical damage boost that comes to him, so he can do more damage to opposing units. So when you do a level, you have to kind of adjust to what the game wants from you in order to best succeed on the level. Now, the big secondary gimmick that the game has in regards to abilities comes in the form of the main two characters, the king and the priestess, who is his wife. The king has time travel abilities as well. And what he does with those abilities is he has a move where he will allow a character to retract their previous action. So what that means is a character can move forward in the field, fight an orc, strike the orc, and do damage. Then you can use the ability to make them run back and get their attack back while the damage dealt to the orc remains on them. So for those who have played games like Fire Emblem, this is the equivalent of, like, say, the Dancer ability, which lets you move twice. But instead of just giving you a second movement, it retracts your previous movement. So it has some downsides and positive sides. On one hand, it's cool because it allows you to kind of, like, do like a move in, strike, and then retreat mechanic if you want to go that route. But the downside is that, or you can just even retreat and then go in another direction and strike somebody in another area. But the downside to that, of course, is that if you want to kind of use this to kind of push forward deeper into the battle on one turn, you can't do that because it's designed to retract and retry. But it's good for, like, doing double damage to guys or trying to split your characters around. But you can only do the move, like, 3 times per map, so you can't exploit it and overdo it. You have to be smart about when you deploy it. And the priestess, her ability is just primarily a healing skill. She can do, like, a group healing, but it gets weaker as the game progresses, so soon you'll be healing less people for more damage. But at the beginning of the game, you're healing a whole group of people within a 3x3 radius for 8 hit points, which is freaking great. So what I just described is primarily the campaign. It's, again, it's like 13 levels. It's not a ton of gameplay. It's just there if you want to play through it. But there's a little bit of post-game stuff you can do, or even just during the game if you so desire, which is like a little bit of a skirmish mode where you can kind of go in, choose whether you want to be the humans or the orc army, and then determine, you know, the map you want to play on and the amount of money you want to have. Because whereas in the main game, you don't get to recruit people, in this sub mode, you can spend money to build the army you want to have to go into battle with. And each unit costs a certain amount of gold. You choose that unit, he's on your field, boom, that's who you're fighting with. Again, this is just more of a skirmish thing. There's no unlocks there. There's no, well, aside from the two units per army, but that's going back to what I mentioned earlier, where you'll get the eventual upgrades at some point. But for the most part, it's just meant to be a quick thing you can do if you want to get more fun out of Farabelle after you've beaten the campaign, but you don't unlock stuff or do anything with it aside from that. So in the end, I feel as though Farabelle itself, I mean, it's a competent game. I actually even like the minimalist graphics a bit, but this is primarily for people who just really want something different in the sense of the whole Memento-style storytelling element of going backwards, because otherwise, for people like me, you're not going to grow in this game. You're just going to harder and harder missions until you're outright done with the product. And yeah, if that doesn't sound something that's up your alley, that may not be the game for you. But if you're okay with just, you know, hitting each level and trying to solve that level's supposed, you know, puzzle or whatever, then this game is worth a try. But buyer beware. Or not beware, just be informed.
Be aware.
Be aware. Much better than
not informed. Beware, be aware.
Or be a bear.
Hey, whatever makes you happy, I'm not going to judge. Some people say I'm a bear, so, because I'm big, hairy, I'm just not gay, so.
Grr, grr.
Maybe one day, guys, maybe one day.
With missed enough opportunity.
I should have gone into bear porn.
Mm-hmm.
I would have made so much bank. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Jets and Guns, developed and published by Rake and Grass, released December 16th on the Switch for $6.99. Jets and Guns is a heavy piece of ground-shaking, rock-blasting action with graphics and special effects that will blow your eyes out. Chris, tell us about Jets and Guns.
Jets and Guns. Okay. So, this is a side-scrolling shoot-em-up, or shmup, where you play as a spaceship, what has to shoot all the other ships in the sky, things like that. Anyway, just kidding. I like to get like more and more generic with my descriptions of like shmups. Actually, though, this one is anything but generic. It actually came out, from my research, back in 2004 as a Windows game. Really? I think. Yeah, yeah. And it does kind of look it. It's got these like, you know, rendered sprites kind of look to it. I guess the last time I saw that in a game I reviewed was Prehistoric Isle 2, which that one was from almost the same era. But yeah, basically it is a thing where you, so you have your ship and you, can basically, do a kind of, I'm trying to figure out where to start with this game. So the way it starts is that, prior to engaging in a level, you basically have a certain amount of money and you purchase, your weapons before you go into the stage. So you can purchase like guns, you can, purchase bombs, you can make your armor better, you can upgrade your guns as soon as you get them, however you wish to spread your money around. And of course, there's a few different like guns and things like that that you can, put in. And the ship also, you know, if you think about it like a Resident Evil or no, that's bad. Like an RPG where there's like slots for weapons. There's slots for like the different guns that you can have. And when you have, so like you can basically mix and match guns to where like one might be a straightforward shot and one might be a, either another straightforward shot or maybe a spread shot or maybe like something that goes like up and down diagonally and things like that. You can actually outfit as many guns as your ship will hold, which is pretty cool. And yeah, then you get into the level and the point, like, okay, so there's 42 levels in all, apparently. And so it's quite a meaty game. You know, the point of them is not always to like defeat the big boss at the end. Sometimes it is, but like, for instance, the very first level, all you have to do is destroy 30, basically like these cargo carriers that are flying around. And the whole point of it is to like, is not only to get through the level, but to try and make as much money as possible so that you can have a whole bunch of bank for the next level and, you know, upgrade your weapons and things like that, because that does get costly. And the cool thing about it is that while you're, instead of like just straight up being like some kind of money bonus or something, even though those exist, what you're usually doing in the stage is actually collecting items that you then sell at the end of the level for extra money. Some of them you can keep, and there's even like this really cool thing where you can, so you get like a random crate and you don't know what's inside of it. And there's an item that you can purchase that's a crate decoder. It's a little keypad that lets you open up the crate. And then you get to play this little mini game where you guess the 4-digit combination and it like uses red, green, and yellow lights to tell you how close you are to the correct number. And, you know, if you get it right, then you get the item inside and you can sell it. And if you get it wrong, of course, then it destroys the item.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's got like these neat things all around it. But the cool thing of, so the difficulty of this game is actually pretty hard. It is that style of shoot 'em up, that is, you know, where there's not quite as many bullets on the screen, but they're tiny. And they move fast, so you do tend to take damage from things that you just can't see. It's like, you know, a typical bullet hell will have like big bright bullets, but this one is more in the, you know, kind of the European or, you know, even U.S. style of like shmup, where it's just like, you know, kind of reminded me a little bit of a game I grew up with called Winroids, which was like, you had like your little ship and you were playing Asteroids, and like even though the graphics were like much better than the original Asteroids, your bullet was still a single pixel and things like that. It's not quite that bad, but it's like it doesn't fill the screen up with bullets. It's more like you're gonna run into obstacles more than actually get shot until you get to a boss, and then the bosses actually do fire quite a lot more bullets. But the cool thing is that the game's a little forgiving in that it gives you several shots before you get killed, and you get multiple like chances to like restore your health essentially. And then there's other little things like certain weapons that you equip might be really powerful, but will have a heat element to them. So if they do have that, then that means that they can overheat, and you have to like, kind of conserve a little bit. Fortunately, you know, depending on the weapon, of course, the cooldown is forgiving. It's just like, but having to stop shooting at any point in a shmup is like, is kind of a sin. So really, you know, the thing that I like about this one, because it was really difficult at first, I was like, I don't like these weapons. It's like, it's not, I'm not doing a straightforward shot and I need a better spread shot for this level. And, that's when I started messing around and I figured out that, when you purchase weapons and upgrades and things like that, you can actually sell them right back for the same amount of money. So you can actually endlessly customize your ship, you know, pursuant to the setup of the level that you're trying to defeat. So there's not one just like catch-all solution. So I like that, that you can actually, and then that actually gives you more of an incentive to save up more money so that you can like really load up your ship with like the stuff it needs. As soon as I figured out, like I determined what weapons I needed for the stage and I went back in there and blasted through it the first time and then the next one and then the next one and, you know, so on. Cause I really like spread shots and that always gets me through. It was pretty cool. And the game has an element of humor to it. It definitely, you know, it does have that, like, I don't know, that style of indie game weirdness. So, like, you know, you have your ship and stuff like that. There's, what I like is that a lot of the ships have advertisements on them just because. And, you can unlock, like I said, you can actually unlock other ships and they have different, sets of weapons on them. And my favorite one is that you can actually get, like, this, like a wiener cart. Like an Oscar Mayer mobile, you know, the Wiener mobile. Nice. And then like, you know, yeah, play with a Space Winnebago with a big hot dog sticking out of it.
That's beautiful.
yeah, there's a lot of good ones. Even, and I haven't unlocked any of them yet, but you can even apparently take over like, or, you know, obtain like some of the enemy aircraft as well. So
that's cool.
You can go through, yeah, give them a taste of their own medicine. I really like the variety of everything in this game, and the look of the game is actually really cool. Like, it's, like I said, rendered sprites are definitely a marker of like late 90s, early 2000s games, but they did a really good job with this one. Now, of course, the big thing, and I think this is what everybody's going to know, is that the soundtrack to the game is, freaking rocking. It was entirely written and recorded by the band Machina Supremacy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They released like this entire album of like the 29 tracks they wrote for this game. So the entire game front to back is just big, you know what they sound like. It's like big metally, like synthy, chiptune-y kind of like, you know, just a constant blast. You're going to want to turn the sound effects like almost all the way down so you can jam out to the tunes in this game.
I might have to look into the soundtrack for this one.
Funny enough, I got ahead of you and did that. They're selling the soundtrack for $7, which is the same price as the game. So I don't know. Something about that really pleases me. Okay, so all of that out of the way, I do have some minor complaints. One is the controls. So a shmup, like a good one, has to have like absolutely tight controls. Like when you stop moving the stick, that ship needs to stop moving. This one slides a bit. And it feels like there's a little bit of a, almost a lag in moving. It really, like when I, you know, funny enough, like my really nice Hori, brand, like third party, Switch controls like worked really well for this one. But when I actually got into my Pro Controller, which, you know, the Pro Controller is like one of the best controllers ever made. Yeah, I was slipping and sliding all over the place. It takes some getting used to. So folks who are like more attuned to like bullet hell style shooters, this one is not going to appeal based on the controls. And again, that with the small bullets and the fact that there's, you know, a lot of explosions tend to create debris and like smoke, and that gets in the way of bullets. And so like the major function of a shmup, which is being able to control yourself around a whole bunch of bullets, is a little bit absent in this one. Yeah. However, I just can't give it bad marks because of everything else about the game, which is great. Oh, and you can choose a custom avatar for your character, and the list of like avatars is ridiculous. I picked the one that looks like, it actually kind of looks like me if I was like trying to look like Salvador Dali. It's just this dude with like the attack eyebrows and a giant like curly mustache. And I love him. You can also be like a baby with a cigar, you know, a clown lady, things like that.
Nice.
Yeah. So like everything about this game is really, really great. But the major mechanics that like make a shmup like a real winner is a little bit lacking on this one.
Well, overall, $7. What do you think?
Yeah, $7. This one feels like a bargain. I would definitely recommend this on very much on its price and on the quality of, like I said, the aesthetics, especially the soundtrack. And again, I really, really like that they did the selling of items, and they threw in a little bit of like almost mini game-ish type stuff, like the cracking the codes on the crates and things like that. That was actually pretty engaging. Yeah, everything but the core shmup could have made this a $20 game, but at $7, I have no complaints. Cool. So there you go.
All right, final game to talk about tonight is called Airy Little Bird Adventure, developed and published by EpixR Games, released December 20th on Xbox One for $6.99. Airy is a peaceful exploration game from the perspective of a little bird who decided to discover the world. Hey, don't give me any shit. calm down from the hassle of your daily life. Experience the feeling of flying and immerse into beautiful and atmospheric landscapes. Cole, tell us about Airy.
So, Airy is a low polygon type of game where you're literally just flying around as a little bird over the course of several levels trying to collect feathers. There is a narrative involved with the game, although you don't necessarily experience it or act it out. Like, you fly through each level. You collect feathers, and then you will get like an overlay on the screen of text that gives you a little bit of story. A lot of these little text blurbs have tons of grammatical mistakes and misspellings in them throughout the whole game. More of an annoyance than anything. Like, you can still get the story it's trying to tell, but you're just like, that sentence didn't come out like they planned. And to give you a really good example of this without giving away anything from the story, when you go into the options to change your sensitivity, it's not called sensitivity, it's called sensibility.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And that carries on for the whole game. I do want to say, the color scheme for the game I thought was really, really pretty.
Oh, however, it's a gorgeous game.
Yeah. However, collecting those feathers can be quite a bitch because the feathers are white. And I don't know if it was just, maybe it's the HDR on my TV or what, but everything looks blown out to me. The whites were just super blinding white. And so those feathers would just blend into the background. Even if the background was yellow, it would blend in.
Yellow.
And I'm like, well, I caught myself. I started to say yeller. getting tired here.
We're almost so done.
I'm really pushing, trying to keep the accent down. But so like those feathers would just be invisible. There was one point where I know I had flown over an area a good 10 times, and then I look at a guide and I see where the fucking feather I was missing was, and I just was right there in front of me, but I just couldn't see it because the sky washed it out.
Was it in that town valley area? I think it was like the fourth stage.
No, it was the one where you've got like the Asian looking buildings, and it was right on top of a building.
Mm.
It was like right at the very point of it. And I know I flew past it a good dozen times. Because I had everyone around it. And I had kept flying around the area looking for it. And I was like, I know there has to be one around here. And I was literally like right up on it and still couldn't see it. And there aren't any settings that can help fix that. There's not a lot in the way of settings beyond your sensibility.
And thankfully, they have invert. Thankfully.
And
you shit talk my inverted controls.
Okay.
Listen, you. Chris Purnell, do either of you play inverted controls?
Excuse me.
I honestly think I do, though I always feel like I can never recall it until the time the game requests me to make the decision.
Well, I invert, yes.
The
yes.
best way I can describe it, because I think I'm getting it wrong, is like when I want to tilt the nose up on the plane, so I push back on it to fly upwards. Like I pull the stick back, so I click down, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're inverted. Yeah. That's yes. the way it's supposed to be. Okay.
Yes, yep. Inverted. Y inverted. Not X inverted.
Yeah. X inverted is just ridiculous.
Chat says inverted is for boomers. Y and that's correct of me.
It's just as ridiculous. I'm just saying. Anyway.
Sounds like someone that was saying would fail at playing Top Gun. Just saying.
Yeah, probably. I don't like flying games at all, usually. So I was surprised I managed to 1K Airy. But I think the fact that it is such a simple game, there isn't anything else going on. It's just fly. If you touch anything, anything of fucking all, you're starting to level over. But there are no other punishments for fucking up. It's just start over, go back into the level again. You'll get to keep the feathers. I did it on purpose one time just to see if like I would lose the feathers. That's dedication to the cause. That's the kind of quality reviews you get on the SML podcast.
I intentionally fuck up just to make sure.
Just to be sure, I did have a problem, though, and that was when I had to restart, it got framey. After a few seconds, it straightened up, and it was back into it, and it was fine. That was the only problem I had with the game, besides the whole everything is blown the fuck out color-wise. But beyond that, it controlled perfectly, did as well as it could do for what it is. It's not meant to be the kind of game that you're going to sit and play for hours or that you're going to go back to 15 times over. You're going to go into it once, you're going to get the story, and you're going to be like, well, that was a nice little change of pace.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
It's a one and done kind of experience.
Yeah. But it is a nice experience while you are playing it. And let's just go ahead and address the elephant in the room for the achievement whores in chat. Yeah, you can finish it in about half an hour.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's guides for it, and I didn't even need them except for that one.
You don't need the guide.
I was like, I'm fine. I'm doing okay. It's that one that I couldn't see that fucked me up was the only one that was a problem.
And most of the stages are fairly linear in terms of where the feathers are, so it's not hard to find them.
Once you hit that first one, the game kind of purposely directs you toward the next several. As long as you're just paying attention, which is good. That's good game design. That's good art design and all that. That's, you want it to point you where you need to be looking. So I don't have any complaints.
Well, then overall $7 on Airy. What do you say?
I go to buy it. Sometimes you just need something that's a nice change of pace and this Airy fits the bill.
It does indeed. I agree. It's cheap. So I could even give it a fuck it. Why not? It's fairly cheap. It's a solid hour long experience. It's not going to change the world, but it's a good change of pace and a good palate cleanser.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Chris Purnell, thank you both for being here and hanging out through the end of the reviews.
Hells yeah.
Thanks to everyone who came on earlier and did the Christmas cast with us. Got to send a Merry Christmas to everyone who's listening or whatever you celebrate, Festivus, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you do. Happy holidays. Happy life. Happy New Year. We got one more episode after this, and then we're going on break. Chris Purnell, any final words?
Ho, ho, ho. Get stuff. Take a good nap because you earned it by being off from work.
Chris, you got anything?
Yeah, no, that's it.
Cole, anything on your end?
Nope.
Ho, ho, ho.